Hey, welcome to the working week. As Elvis Costello once said, it's the Blue and Mike Show from the DealsNittany.com studios. We're live on Facebook, if anyone cares to notice. And I slept till 2 o'clock today.
I know.
What the hell happened?
It's one of those weird things when I arrived, and it's like, okay, Drew's car's here, check.
No, but
Leia
I was nowhere
here, check.
I was nowhere to be found.
I figured you were just...
Somebody's got a case of the sleepies.
I figured you were just crashed.
Okay, I was watching Cops till 5:30 in the morning.
Well, you paid for it, you might as well.
I own 3 seasons of Cops now. I gotta tell you, before I die... You better kiss my ass if you think I'm going to leave you my Cops episodes, because I own them, baby. They're mine.
Take them to the grave.
Yeah. I'm pointing to myself like David Putty right now. I own 3 seasons of Cops.
Yeah, that's a very proud thing to own.
I tell you, what a fit. There's never been a better show. Ever. The unpredictability. The people. Oh, my God. The people Cops have to deal with. Wow. Anyway, yeah, so that was worthwhile, and here I am, and we're getting started, and there's plenty going on. I went on a viewing bender.
sounds like it.
Not just Cops. I mean, it just never stops. But first of all, let me thank Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. A serious brutal punch you in the face. Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew for all the coffee products, the killer merch. You can use promo code DREW15 at checkout to save 15%, as so many of you have done. And I hope you like the coffee and you reorder. Things are going great with Death Wish Coffee, who, by the way, I forwarded an email from someone who works on the front line.
Yeah.
Who asked if they could send them some coffee, you know, for being front line first responders. Mm-hmm. And they have just immediately said yes. And whammo, they sent it. And did you see the picture I tweeted out?
I did. I retweeted it, too.
Cool.
Looks good.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? I mean, not even a discussion, not even, well, who are these people? Are they real?
They're
and
real.
Then I think it was, is it Jesse that sent me the picture? Oh, Christ. Anyway.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he sent the picture, sent a picture of himself. I tweeted out the picture, not of him, but of the 4 people enjoying the coffee. And so that was really nice.
Good.
Really nice. And got other things going on, too.
Lots of stuff going
there's
on.
There was talk yesterday about flooding, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a flood warning. Isn't that great? Isn't that what we need right around now?
I tell you, between coronavirus, the rainy days. I mean, we're mid May now. We should have had a couple nice weeks of weather under our belts, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it looks though after these 3 bad days that it's going to get nice.
It always feels so overdue when it finally does. And then it's like 80 and humid again.
Just like that.
No time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no summer here.
It's called Mother Nature.
So anyway, the flooding thing, God, please don't.
My backyard's already a swamp. It's going to be way worse.
Your backyard?
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
It always floods.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's already flooding?
Yeah, from that rain. Didn't we have a massive thunderstorm, 3 days ago?
Oh, that's right.
Ago? And it's just been standing water back there. It's great.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Tremendous amounts of water.
It's fantastic.
I woke up to Layla
Especially when you have little kids that love nothing more than slopping through it.
Well, at least they get... I mean, kids look at the things they find joy in and things they don't find joy in.
I don't
Isn't
know.
Strange? But this reminds me of our Emergency Response Services Incorporated, another new sponsor. They respond to your home or business water extract. I mean, I hate suggesting that we want this. We don't want this to happen. They don't either, but this is what they do.
Water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
They would love to respond to your home or business water extraction, drying needs, or if there's mold problems, storm damage, COVID-19. They're doing that now, too. And if you are an emergency plumber or you work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan, call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or vehicle. 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Easy to remember, 877-JOB-DONE. Tell them Drew sent you. And I hope you don't need to call, but it's nice. I just like having a phone number handy for somebody out there fast. And they were getting so much contract carpet cleaning because, you know, you do all that terrible work and then you still have these nasty carpets even if they're dry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they started a carpet cleaning business too, so...
Keep it under one roof.
They kind of do it all. Yeah, so I started this.
Does the carpet match the curtains?
rather than get into anything COVID related, because this morning or this afternoon when I woke up and yesterday too.
This morning.
I've been up for three.
You must have been so confused because I was at your house in the morning early when you woke up.
What is Mark doing here? Is he having a terrible time at home? He just needs to escape, which is fine.
Everything's 2 wonderful.
O'clock. What the fuck?
I'm like, it's 2 o'clock. What is 2 o'clock?
Didn't have anything.
You were
to
so
eat.
Shocked.
I had nothing. I had to go get some taquitos from 7-Eleven. Thank God for 7-Eleven. And
good morning.
Anyway, when I watched the news yesterday morning and this morning, I was catching up a little bit last night. I just start feeling like I live in the United States of assholes. I really do. I feel like, I don't know if I can put a number on it. It seems like about a third of the country is just plain assholes or are just plain assholes.
You think it's that many? You think a third?
I don't know. Maybe they just land on the news more.
I think it's 20%. 10% are extreme on each side, and they're such assholes about it.
You know, when I see the casino opening, for example, and it's jam-packed, and nobody's got a mask.
That makes total sense. What are you talking about?
And the casino that opened, by the way.
There were a couple of them.
They were showing MGM, for example, which didn't open, mm-hmm. but they've got these dividers up. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, that's pretty good. We're going to do better than we did. Of course, we can't do worse. But this casino that they were showing, I don't even know where it was. There were no dividers. There was nothing. There was just people clumped up all over the place.
Arizona and Oklahoma.
I'm trying to win $600.
Had massive lines.
What the fuck? Are you kidding? Are these people just, I mean, is there anything that we can all come together? I know there isn't.
No.
Can
we just open up everything now? Let's just be done with it. Just open it all up. Let's just learn, you know, let's just do it that way.
Well, I feel this is what really makes me mad is that
we're on the board. We're close enough to it anyway, so let's just open everything up.
What makes me mad is that I think you're probably right to some. We've got it. We have to start moving. We can't just keep passing $3 trillion bills to keep people in pay. I mean, you cannot get people to come back to a restaurant to work because they're getting $963 a week.
Isn't that the thing that we're going to learn looking back on, is that the federal government guaranteeing $600 a week was a huge mistake?
Personally, I think so. I mean, I'm happy for the people that got it because they're the kind of people that need it. So I don't know.
There were better ways to do it. I mean, granted, you know, we have the hindsight now to look at it, but yeah.
You know what would be a better way to do it is to give them less money over a longer period if they need it. That way you've got protection longer, because if you start getting $963 a week and you're used to making, say, $500, $600 a week, aren't you going to kind of blow it out your ass?
Or once again, if the goal is to not have businesses fire people, just pay them what the business was paying them if the business can't pay them.
And this $3 trillion bill is, again, I just see United States of assholes all over that story every time I see it, between the people complaining and the people trying to pass a bill that, you know, I guess it was considered a starting point. I heard Pelosi say that, yeah, this is not a final thing. This is a starting point. And maybe that's the case, but do we need to do all the dicking around stuff? I mean, really?
I don't know.
It just seems, wouldn't you bring people to, wouldn't you normally bring people together and go, okay, here's what we got to do. We need one really big favor. I'm sure you need one really big favor. Let's do that, too.
It doesn't happen.
I know it doesn't, but I mean, isn't it simple?
I was listening to an interview.
Sound like brain surgery.
I was listening to an interview with the head of the unemployment office of Indiana, because, you know, it's a disaster there like it is here because they were just overwhelmed.
Are we on Facebook Live?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay. I don't see any pictures. There's a picture. Over there. I'll see the picture in the comments.
And they were at, you know, it's just been a disaster. And so the guy's like, I got to investigate and figure out why is it so hard to get through to us. And he found out that apparently cell phone companies and phone companies have an automatic disconnect after waiting on hold for 4 hours. To which I say, why are people waiting on hold for 4 hours?
Oh, man.
And then he said that was the first problem. The second problem is they found out if they get more than 60 calls a second, it doesn't even go through and go to their automatic hold. So
the person you called has hung up.
Isn't that crazy?
These are the people I feel so bad for, the ones who are trying to get through to unemployment or whatever, who really, really need help.
But that head of that office felt like he really felt bad about it, too. He's like, we're trying. We're doing everything we can.
And they hung up on me.
Can't they get some phone banks up? Can't they get a lot of people entering the phones in the short term? You know, like, we need ventilators. We got too many ventilators now. And I'm not crying about it. We might need too many ventilators. Or maybe somebody else needs ventilators. We are still the United States. We do things for people that are less fortunate.
We do.
Well, yeah, other countries. We give foreign aid to people. Yeah. Well, you don't think we do anything for anybody?
No, I know we do.
We do. I'm not nuts about having way too many ventilators, but better too many than too few.
MAGA.
And maybe we need to trade our ventilators for something with China. Or yeah. Not China. They have all they want, probably, but some. I don't know. It just isn't bad. So why would it be bad to have too many people at the phone banks? And then, you know, when everybody is getting through real quickly, just like everyone was getting treated for coronavirus real quickly, then you send them home.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the boats and the temporary hospitals and... I know that's very frustrating, but generally people seem very happy in Michigan with the governor.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird to me because I don't think I'm happy with anybody right now, but I'm surprised whenever.
Hey, Gretz, throw the buffs on her face because that's Big Gretz. We ain't even about to stress. We got Big Gretz.
Well, to that point, I know you know that Charlie the Duff's No BS News Hour made news again.
Yes. Boy, that was big news, too.
You know what's funny? So
he is such a news hound. Man, he is so good at what he does, which is make shit happen.
Well,
that's one thing he does. He does his homework.
I was thinking about it over the weekend. I'm like, what is, you know, besides Charlie being very smart, like, what? I mean, it takes a lot more than that. It's like, oh, you know what it is? He goes and talks to people.
He
and
does.
Goes places. And that goes a long way, man.
He's got a real scent.
Hits the ground.
For news. But yeah,
it's Hunter Thompson-esque in a way, too, because he'll really get deep into it. He'll be involved in a
Charlie,
story.
Charlie, it's very simple. Charlie?
He is. And if you ever hang out with him, he's always meeting someone. Or,
yeah.
Oh, so-and-so's coming here. It's this cop I know from here.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this guy who writes for this, you know, here, there. He stays in touch with these people. He reminds me of journalists. When I first started working in the business, there were people who made their calls every morning. They'd call all their police contacts. They'd call all their, you know, political contacts or whatever. They'd make the rounds. They'd look. They were digging for something, you know, something to do. And I don't think there's a lot of digging anymore. There's a lot of just rewriting what's out there or just passing along what somebody else said.
Especially
you will all get Pulitzer Prizes, okay? You're going to all get Pulitzer Prizes.
Especially in television, part of the problem is that they don't pay enough, so no one's doing the job, and then they cut everybody, so now they have too few people doing too many jobs and turning around stuff too quick.
I know, it's really
there's
sad.
There's no patience.
I would have never thought that the business of television news or newspaper news, the daily business of churning out news, that would become an unprofitable thing where you just couldn't make any money and people had to almost, you know, be like public servants to do it.
You get it for
it's
free.
Not that bad.
You get it for free. Everybody gets their news for free on the internet.
It's just crazy. But, you know, the world moves fast now. The world seems to me, and maybe it's because I'm fucking ancient, it seems like the world moves a lot faster than it used to. You know, the other thing I was thinking about was this whole college thing where people are going, I'm not going to college campus. I'm not paying this ridiculous money. It's like all of a sudden people just go, I have to do classes online. And it really isn't that big a difference. And
okay, boomer.
It shouldn't cost shit.
College.
So, you know, now we've got all these colleges talking about how, oh, my God, are we fucked? Because when you're overcharging people that kind of money for that long, then, of course, you carry this monstrous payroll of people with incredible benefits. And
then, you know, then those colleges fold.
The beast has to be fed. Well, the only big story I saw over the weekend was there's people talking about how much money they're losing, which is like, I don't know how you're losing so much money in such a short time, but they are. And Bowling Green was cutting their baseball program.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other Division I colleges were saying, well, we'd love to cut this, but if we go below 16 sports, then we're not a Division I school anymore. So how... I don't know how I don't understand that rule at all because right now they ought to be doing something about that and saying, well, it's 14.
Isn't that the NCAA's rules? The NCAA is so antiquated. It's going to get, aren't they just going to cut them out? Why don't the head of these conferences go, you know, we're going to do our own basketball tournament.
They're so
we don't need you to set it up and sell it.
Student athletes.
There's so much overhead there. We're going to do it ourselves and we're going to make our own. Well, they already. I don't think the NCAA runs the college football championship. I think that's amongst the conferences themselves. So they already have a model for it. So do it. Bye-bye, NCAA. What do we need you for?
They're so...
Who cares?
Slow. It's like, Shea Patterson's transferring to Michigan. Yeah. Will he be eligible? Why would that take 4 months to find out? It seems to me you could do it in a week.
Yeah.
You know, or this guy was transferred from Georgia to this school, and a baseball player called him the N-word. So does he get to play right away? How could it take? I mean, that's two phone calls, right?
You would think, yeah.
And, you know, the whole business of, they should own their images, and then they can make a little money. We're going to get to it by 2023.
Who cares?
What the fuck are you doing? Mm. What are you doing all day? I don't know. I find myself saying that all the time. But anyway.
Going back, so Charlie made news, though, because he had Genesee County Sheriff on, Chris, what's his last name? I don't know. Very nice guy.
I have to grab an envelope. Because I still am obsessed with envelopes. Oh, no, here it is. Here's my envelope.
Oh, with all your notes on it?
Yes.
He was a really nice guy, really smart guy. I loved hearing from him on Charlie's podcast. But, you know.
Christopher Swanson.
Swanson, thank you. By the way, he married a cougar. He pointed that out. He showed a picture of his wife on the very beautiful.
Yeah. How old is he?
I think he's about a little.
She sounds hot.
He's one of those guys that he's older than me, but he looks way younger. So I kind of got mad at that.
Hot.
I think he's in his late 40s.
So how old is his wife?
I think she's only a few years. He was so bummed that he even started going down that road.
I like what you
say. I want to say she was only 5 years older than him, so big deal.
Wait, she's only five? Oh, she's
older. Yeah, she's 5 years older than him, so.
I know the definition for cougar is a lot different than robbing the cradle on the male side.
True.
Oh, women.
Well, it all depends on
the
age that you do it at. But anyway, so he said that he's like, in Genesee County, we're not going, don't expect us, was his quote, to enforce the Whitmer, you know, stay-at-home rules.
Well.
Which he later had to go back and kind of talk a little bit more about it when the TV stations got a hold of him.
Yeah.
Because he's a Democrat, and he's saying he thinks Whitmer's doing a good job.
Well, you know, this is very complicated, and this is something that I've seen happening over a long period of time, where people seem to think that some things that typically, because honestly, 20 years ago, never would somebody say, you know, we're not going to enforce that law. You know what? Our city is a sanctuary city, and we're not going to enforce this ICE stuff. We're going to let illegal aliens get driver's licenses. Illegal immigrants. And this selective business, it's like, wait, no. We've never operated that way. And now it seems like everything is optional. There's nothing that you can really count on. Not that I'm dying.
Maybe that's better, because maybe things work better at a smaller municipality. Like maybe cities and counties should decide large states.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm not saying I disagree with them necessarily. I'm just saying.
The problem is when you cross those imaginary lines between cities and states and other states.
Well, the problem is, when does it stop? It's sort of like saying, what is free speech or what is obscenity? Who decides?
Well, the Supreme Court did.
Yeah, well, they did. When is it okay for somebody to go, yeah, I'm not going to force that? Because this is not a small thing. This is a big thing. And, you know, we are the
United States. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
We are the United States of assholes.
Sure.
So when you don't enforce something like that, here come the assholes, you know, like Wisconsin. I'm still looking at that story because it keeps popping up, and I'm going, I don't know, Brandon, did you watch much of the Wisconsin coverage?
I only really saw a couple clips here and there that would show people congregating around a bar, and I didn't see any social distancing or masks. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't personally do that, but I could understand a large populace who want to get out.
I don't understand if your point is that, hey, you've gone overboard. This is crazy. I would think you'd at least observe have some respect for the business
stupid
of
stupid government,
COVID-19, and the concerns about it, and maybe wear a mask or be a little bit careful, or at least there'd be some guidance for the bars. There's no rules set up. There's nothing set up in Wisconsin, so it was just every man for himself. Yeah. I'm going to party.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. Here's actual audio.
Green Bay Packers. You like the Packers?
It's the only Wisconsin related drop we have. I gotta tell you,
all of a sudden this just seems impossible.
I went to
I'm just gonna stay here and do the show.
I went to Home Depot yesterday.
Yeah.
The place was fucking packed. It was hard to find a parking spot. I'm like, I don't want to wheel out a bunch of dirts and rocks. And
I know, isn't it?
Through this whole, you know, parking lot, but I ended up parking as far away as, you know, you can in that lot, the one on Southfield. But it was jam-packed. Everyone had a mask on.
Except, oh, did they? Good.
Except for, how long? I'm going to narc them out. The guy, the way they did it, too, and I will give Home Depot as much credit as I give Costco, because they really do have things moving as best as they can. And, you know, they're all wearing masks, except for, well, the line is so long, they have a guy going through kind of scanning your items before you go pay, which just makes it move faster. And he had his mask down on his chin.
What?
Why are you wearing a mask on your chin? You know, is it because you're forced to? But it was jam packed.
Well,
and I gotta say, there were there were like three parties in our neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that, honestly, that this hasn't come to a head sooner. I think that there's so many people who are so scared and, you know, of dying. And, you know, they were talking about the schools, opening the schools today.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying, well, you know, it seemed like it really, you know, probably wasn't a huge deal. I mean, everyone's concerned. With your kids, it's a whole different thing. And then they said, but now there's this new thing. This thing that impersonates Kawasaki's disease, and 180 children have it, and we talked about it a little bit on Thursday, and three kids have died. It's like, okay, three kids have died. I can't express how painful that is. But when you're talking about shutting schools down for three kids, nine kids, 12 kids, or, you know, over school shootings, if they'd shut schools down, then you're talking about a single-income household. Both parents can't work, right? If you can't, well, in this case, child care is no different than school. You can catch it there.
Isn't it just too early to make a decision anyway? So, yeah, I know it's three deaths.
Yeah, they don't need to make a decision.
I know it's very minor. You know, three deaths is not that many, but I think it took everybody by surprise. It's like, oh, wait, this is acting even differently now than we thought. That's the problem. It keeps changing. They keep finding out new things about it.
Yeah, but generally speaking, the data on younger people is, I don't want to call it fantastic, but it's really encouraging. It's like, you know, it's not really a concern. I mean, if you could place the concern people have over kids, which should be high, and it seems to be, I'm not sending my kid back to school. If you could put that kind of concern on the seniors in the nursing homes and the assisted livings, wouldn't we, wouldn't that make a lot more sense?
They already live their life.
I kind of agree with you there.
Well,
we've
said this all along. Once we know who it affects, then we can make the decision on how crazy we want to reopen.
Yeah, I you know.
And I'm for that. If it affects, you know, old people, and the other thing, too, is they need a treatment, and they hopefully will get a vaccine soon. So, and by the way,
we're getting warmer weather, though. So, I mean, as time goes on, it doesn't matter. People are going to still go out. They're going to still party. They're not going to stay indoors during this. So we're only going to see the social distancing get worse.
And we're going to hear a bunch of this.
Get away. There's a child.
I got it.
Jesus.
I got it.
There's a child.
I hear that a ton this summer.
You know, what's
that's going to be the soundtrack to the summer.
Get away, there's a child!
And... Hey,
Ethan!
I got it.
There's a
child!
Yeah!
Because people are going to want to party.
When Brandon says, you know, whether you're going to see the people can't get, you know, go out like they can't help it, I'm picturing the crazy people in I Am Legend when it's like you go in the parking area and they're all just those
zombie.
Gumby crazy people,
yeah.
You know, like they hear the music and the warm weather, and it's just like whoosh, they just have no brain power whatsoever except party. Yeah.
Are you? Would you go? Let's say miraculously football plays. Would you go to a game?
Well, you mean and sit 6 feet?
Well, when the
from
Tigers
somebody?
Start up in July, you're gonna go. You're gonna go to the games
and sit 6 feet from someone?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really doubt it. I just don't. It just seems like, first of all, it would be that much fun. I don't want to be in a stadium with 1/6 of the normal number of people.
So Ohio opened up a lot of stuff, including restaurants. Would you go to
I might go to a restaurant,
okay.
But I mean, I'm a little biased because I'm and these, You know, I'm really surprised they haven't seen
this. I mean, I wouldn't because I have kids, but I mean, and not because I'm scared of them getting sick. I just don't want to be at a restaurant with my kids.
There were a lot of.
I don't want to chase them around the restaurant for 3 fucking hours.
There were a number of stories over the weekend. One, I think, I'm convinced got coverage because the girl talking was really hot.
Oh.
She was from a restaurant in Maryland, and she was saying, we can't get people to come back to work because they're making too much money at home.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Where's that story been? We've been talking about this for a long time that people don't want to go to restaurants when they're getting an extra $600 a week. They're not going to go back to work. There's fear, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I wish.
Did you see there's a restaurant in Michigan that's charging a COVID tax, they call it?
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
The story's a little misleading because what they're doing is they're all the extra surplus for things they need for carry out. They're just passing it along, and instead of raising each individual item, I kind of get it. It kind of makes sense.
Oh, I think it totally makes sense.
They probably should have named it COVID tax, though. They should have named it
carry out charge or something.
Don't call it a tax. Just raise the
price.
Don't call
it a tax and don't relate it to COVID.
And don't say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, just. Yeah. But I'll go back to the other problem. If I look rationally at restaurants, I just go, oh my God, we're so fucked. So I have to just take it week by week, which is not the way, you know, if you're invested in something, you don't want to look at anything week to week, day to day. But there's no choice because otherwise you'll just say, forget it. But as our competition drops out, which a lot of them are. In fact, somebody who's been involved in a lot of restaurants, and never shut one down, just shut one down not too far from us. I don't want to get specific, but that was sort of a, oh, my God, really? But with the carryout business, it's really hard to make money on Uber Eats and, you know, Dash, DoorDash, and Grubhub. So, you know, if we did all curbside, we could probably do okay, but... You know, it's just hard with that carryout business. It's not a big profit center. So you got to have the people in the restaurant. And if you can only have it 50% full, I just don't know. But again, a lot of our competitors are going out of business. Yeah. So if you're still left standing, you stand a better chance normally. I mean, you've obviously adapted properly or you've done something right. And I'm really pleased about Mesa and Jenna, who's running it, and the employees who are really excited, and they've really, as I mentioned, they've become a team, and they're fired up. So, you know, maybe that we're a different operation, but we might be stronger in some ways, at least in spirit, hopefully. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we'll move on to a lot of great viewing over the weekend.
Yeah, I thought we were going to start with any COVID, and then what do you know?
I know. damn it. And
Ryan on Facebook Live said, I think Drew's having a Mesa staff meeting with us right now.
No staff meeting yet. We have excitement on the Hall Financial Hotline because it would appear there is a reason to call Jonah Falcon, the person who has typically been said to have the largest penis in the world.
Yeah.
But he's got some competition.
It's accepted. I mean, no matter how many times people get thrown at him.
He always knows about him, too. It's like when I think, oh, he hasn't read this. He always has. And this guy has been all over the news.
He's got Google alerts for big penis stories.
But then again, Jonah is kind of hiding from us because the last time we talked to him, he was very blasé when it came to... you know, the COVID-19 and the coronavirus. He said, screw that shit, I'm 40, even though he lives in downtown New York. So
That dude's dying ASAP.
We tried calling him back, and he didn't answer because I think he didn't want to do a mea corona culpa.
He sounded like such a dick, too. It wasn't like, you know, it's really not a big concern for people. It was like, he's like, fuck that, I'm 40. What do I really don't give a
cool
shit.
Mushroom tip.
I mean, I would think you'd be worried about your family or your parents or something, but
there's another.
Anyway. I'm a man. I'm 40.
There's another person we need to call back too.
Wait, who's Jonah's competition? What's his name?
Wood.
Wood, the meme guy.
Who's a real guy?
He was a real guy. He's passed away.
Yeah, he's
great
since
story.
Passed.
We should read the story too, because here's the story. It's
yeah, because everybody
phenomenal.
Knows the guy. You always get the bait and switch from your buddies, you know, on the text message of the big black guy with the monster hog sitting on the bed.
Anyone well, for penis?
It's interesting to learn about that guy because we've all seen his face. We know who he is. But do you really know who he is? And some of the details are kind of quite shocking of who he was.
Seems like we should have a 10-part documentary on this guy.
Oh, my God. Tell me you wouldn't watch a Netflix
Absolutely.
Series documentary on this guy.
Hell yes. I'm watching
Wood.
Everything.
It would be called Wood, too, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, is there somebody else we were supposed to call?
I kind of want to call the 10K friend guy back.
Oh!
The listener, my goodness. I gotta say, the listeners of this podcast, they're just the best, because somebody went through pretty much all his friends. And I don't know why he did this, but we asked him, what was the kid's name? Was it Ron? Rob? Rob.
Rob. We asked 10K Rob, friends or whatever.
Who was the most famous friend that he met? And he said some YouTuber that nobody knew. Well, one of our listeners, and I wish I had the person's name, went back through and found like number 3,125 was this lady named Lisa who worked
essentially
in the,
went through over 3,000 people to find to bust him.
And he found Lisa Ann, porn star Lisa Ann, who we have a history with.
Huge porn star.
And, yeah, I mean, everybody knows her.
She's huge.
Well, yeah. She got famous, obviously, for doing Nailin Palin. She was the Sarah Palin right. porn impersonator.
How could she not cross his mind when we said, is there anyone we'd know?
Because maybe he didn't want people to know. Because maybe.
Oh, he totally nailed her. Come on. He just didn't want to mention it because she probably would have said something about his little weenie. We got to also understand this is the girl, Lisa Ann, who she's been with a lot of NBA players. She's been with, I think it was John Sally, who she
Anyone
said had a baby arm.
And,
you know, she's been with some big, big, big dudes. So if you're with a person like Lisa Ann, like I know if I banged her, I wouldn't want her talking about it because I don't measure up.
I got to say, going through his pictures on Facebook, you could not, I mean, I think it was really hard not to notice that all the females were young and slim and attractive. I thought it was like, wait, am I in the NXIVM site? Is this the NXIVM meeting or NXIVM convention or something? Because they all look like they're on very low calorie diets.
He's tied with that other cult of WeWork. I mean, you never know. Maybe he's working on his own cult.
Oh God, I love you, Lisa.
Let me just wrap Hall Financial, who are doing refis. I just got another great note from somebody about Hall Financial. I don't think I'll find it soon enough, so forget that. But it was somebody saving over $200 a month, and this is his second refi in 2 years. And honest to God, the stories are just fabulous because you love seeing people save money and use your advertiser. The circle really has worked so brilliantly with Hall Financial. If you're anywhere near 4%, just contact them. Go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. Go to our webpage, click the link, call 248-308-5000. They'll make it easy for you. It's not, and I know how these things can seem. It's like, oh, they want this now. They want that now. They want, why did they ask for this 2 weeks ago? Why is this person calling me? They're really good. They make it very, it's very organized. It's very quick. They're up for speed and efficiency, and they do it well. They average 19 days. Industry average is 44. Many are done in less than 10 days. So call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. They're an equalizing lender at NMLS number 1467435. Do you think that Jonah is going to just opt out on the fact that this guy's dead?
No. I think
he could discount it. He's dead anyway, so I set it the big stick alive.
Jonah's tricky, too, because when we called him on Sunday last time, I think, wasn't he having family dinner?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm worried about that. But I think he'll be happy to talk about this guy because he's going to claim that he's not that long. But we all know with this guy, with wood, it's all about the girth.
That thing looks 13 inches.
Yeah, at least around.
Let's just say 13.7, so it's not like, or maybe we should say a bigger number, so if he smashes him in size, then
his volume,
negotiate down to 13.7, which makes him bigger than Jonah.
I got to say, Wood's volume displacement is going to be way more than Jonah by a mile.
No doubt.
Without using a ruler, I'm longer than my forearm and thicker than my wrist.
I've never seen Wood hard, I don't think. So I don't know. But
do you need to?
I could envelop the entire doorknob with my foreskin.
I love how he denied ever doing that, too.
He said he could do it.
No, he did it.
Of course
he did. And bragged about it.
He does it all the time.
Hey, can you take care of this?
Yes.
Because now I'm hot. I was cold earlier. Now I'm hot. I got to turn the heat down.
I'm worried about you. So maybe you have coronavirus. That's a symptom. Somebody, there was a...
Hot?
Huh?
Being cold?
Well, yeah, flu-like symptoms.
Don't feel good.
There was somebody in the sports world who is in ICU for coronavirus. Did you see that, Brandon?
Was it the guy from Moneyball, right?
Drew just yelled, yeah, Art Howe, former manager.
He was the one that was played by...
Philip Seymour Hoffman, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess he did an interview, so... He must be okay. He's not on a ventilator or anything. Okay, anyway. As most of you know, our original studio sponsor, there's an extra end in here. As most of you know, our original studio sponsor, DealsInTheD.com, is now open and honored to help with all of your automotive needs. Our friends at Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota consider themselves experts with social distancing. They're also experts with disinfecting. Their showrooms must remain closed right now to customers, but they've perfected their VIP pickup and delivery process, making buying or leasing your new or your pre-loved vehicle better than ever before. Just go to Deals. Just go to DealsInTheD.com, choose your favorite make and model, work out your payments online, appraise your trade online, and then pick what time you want your new fresh ride dropped off in your driveway. It's that simple. It's fun, fast, and easy. Plus, you can imagine the deals that are entirely out of control right now. Tons of great deals. 0% financing for 84 months or zero due leases under $200 a month. Plus, right now, while several dealerships are still closed, all the Zot dealerships can help renew your lease or even get you out of your lease early with no penalties. Check it out. Surf their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Or if you don't have internet like some people, you can just call Anthony, 248-215-5151. So. Just shake that ass, bitch,
and let me see what you got. Just shake that ass. Time to party, man.
Yes. Can you hear Drew yelling directions from upstairs?
No.
You want to know if there was a new boner line today, and there is a new boner line. What? It would sound very cool. Let's look into that. Boy, I bet you guys wish you knew what he's saying. Could you hear him at all?
Was he talking about this song?
No. Is there a reason we played that? Is that just a new entry, or is there a story to that?
No, I just played it earlier because we talked about partying, and continuing the theme of playing it.
Drew was wondering if we needed an intercom system and how cool that would sound on the podcast, which it would sound pretty cool. But then he also wanted to know if there is a boner line, and I believe you said there is one today, right?
There is, yeah.
Okay.
You want to rip and roar it early?
Huh? We can do it early, even though it's not terribly good viewing for people on Facebook Live, but that's okay. The boner line is brought to you by Man's.
Oh, wait.
What?
Real quick, what? I think I just hooked up that intercom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so let's go live upstairs right to where Drew Lane is, not in the studio.
Oh, he left it on by accident. That's a shame.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to turn the intercom off.
So I was in the bathroom the other day, and Julie and I were having a conversation. She was just remarking at how great my pubes look, and it's because of Manscaped.com. She couldn't get over herself. Just with all the trying to make it sound like a real story. Come on. No, she was there. She was looking at it. Wow.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
That's more the reality if she sees me nude. But yeah, so Manscaped stops all those cuts and nicks that you're going to get on your balls or your pubes or anywhere on your body because they have a new secret formula that works on the lawnmower 3.0 system that's got like a ceramic blade so it doesn't pull or tug. And I got my hair cut. She cut my hair this weekend. And that side, if anybody sees it on Facebook Live, is a little bit shorter than that.
This is actually a pretty dope haircut for a white person.
So now when I see people for the time being, I'm just going to have to make sure people only see one side. But I thought she did a very wonderful job. And yes, the Manscaped 3.0 did come into effect. So yeah, go get the lawnmower. That's the new razor that they have. Battery will last up to 90 minutes. You can take a longer shave. It's waterproof. You can bring it in the shower. It's got the LED light. We've talked a ton about that. Just go try it out for yourself. Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code Drew at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com when you check out with all your stuff, including your ball deodorant. Don't forget that. Just use code Drew. Your balls will thank you. And they bring you the boner line.
Yeah, I was looking for the Drew and Mike complaint line.
Just go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
I'm taking a break. I got to take a break from the show.
Next caller, what's your question?
You fucking make fun of Joe Biden or bust on him, or you bag on Whitmer.
Phone lines are going crazy.
Hey, I wish you guys would lay off churches.
Ooh, all right. Next caller is Eric. Are you there, Eric?
Seems like it's been all about Christine Blasey Ford and Joe Biden for the last fucking month.
Whiner.
You know, I'm not going to get political here or anything, but I'm sick and tired of you guys kissing Justin Amash's ass. And I'm sick of it.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Thank you, Justin.
So,
How the fuck do you get a tick on your ball sack?
Gross.
Were you teabagging a possum? Were you circle jerking a raccoon? I mean, come on. A tick on your ball sack? What kind of fucking shenanigans is going on to get that to happen?
It's called Mother Nature.
Listening to the show here, and you don't understand how ScarJo and Billie Eilish end up in porn.
She's like the Sandra Bullock of butt porn.
It's a deep fake. Happens all the time. It's a new technology.
Adobe software.
Not a big deal. Why are you busting Brandon's balls? Because you don't understand technology.
That looks like futuristic, beautiful stuff.
Pornhub.
Oh, my God. Separated at birth. Rob 10K and McLovin.
I am McLovin.
I can't remember every fact about everyone, so...
I got a booter.
Sometimes I need to have my memory jogged.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Hey, I got a crazy thought. Why don't we put it to a vote, a nationwide vote, whether or not we get to go back to work and save the economy, or whether we sit on our asses and watch it all go down the drain.
Voting kicks ass, right?
Hey, what's up? It's a conspiracy theorist guy, not on drugs this time.
Dear God, here we go.
I don't know if you guys have heard anything about this. This is the first I'm hearing it from a credible source.
Oh boy, here we go.
But in Michigan, all the funeral homes got a letter saying any deaths just relate it to COVID. Because the state gets $30,000 per COVID case, which would equal about $150 million right now. Have you guys heard anything about that? Maybe put some feet on the ground and see. But yeah, every funeral home supposedly got a letter saying any death just related to COVID. And then I was thinking, it's weird that we have so many deaths here, but in the state of Texas, they only have 800?
No way.
I don't know. Check it out.
Damn, son, that is one compelling argument.
I walked the bridge about 30 years ago.
Oh, good for you.
And what you got to do is you got to get up really early in the morning, go there, they park, you get on a bus, they drive you over the bridge, and then you walk back. So how are you going to social distance? You're going to have like six people on a bus? They had like 40 or 50 buses just
walk
going
halfway,
back and
turn
forth.
Around.
It's not like you're whining about it. Like, oh, they got to cancel it. Oh.
Whiner.
Today's Facebook Live was amongst the funniest things I've ever seen when Ike the Mega, Mega, Mega Man was on. The people who were on the Facebook Live were dicing and shredding him a new ass.
Yeah, I was listening to the show and I'm disappointed you were missing Roy Horn's eulogy, so I thought I'd give them for you guys.
I will remember you.
We're lucky to have him for the extra time that we did, because he did suffer a stroke on stage in 2003.
Will you remember me?
But the heroic Ryan Montecourt jumped off his tricycle, threw off his Shriner hat, bit his face and arm to shreds to make sure that stroke wouldn't take him, so... The only thing he never really got to see, which sad for me, he was just too into that bachelor life. He never just settled down with that one special woman. He just like played in the field a little too much. So thanks to Montecourt for fighting his faith and saving him from a stroke. He had an extra 17 years. Roy Horn, rest in peace.
I will remember you.
He is no longer with us.
Will you remember?
He didn't want to die.
Don't let your
light shiny and sparkling and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got an after funeral party to attend.
Take care and stay healthy.
That's it for today.
I have so much to say already. First of all, Facebook Live is so funny to be. If you're watching it, because the comments and the smart assery, I honestly don't think it was always this funny. It just seems like it's gotten and Mega Man, I guess, did take
a pounding. Quite a hit. Yeah. Oh yeah,
you know, no harm, no foul. He put himself out there. He had some big takes. Doesn't mean they were hot takes. Doesn't mean they were good takes. But anyway, I find it fun now to go back and listen to Facebook Live, because I can watch the smartassery taking place as it did while it was going. And I don't know what's the better show, the people talking in drops and commenting on the show or the show. It's honestly, we should get more people on Facebook. But, you know, we've been down that road. And then on the deaths. Who are we talking about dying there on Facebook? Or
Roy Horn.
That was Roy Horn specifically, because yeah. I think that caller felt that we gave Little Richard a pretty good eulogy, but we just quickly passed over Roy Horn.
Yeah, Roy was wonderful, of course.
It's his fault for dying when Little Richard did.
I know, big mistake. Which is
the Farrah Fawcett mistake.
Which is amazing, and it's going to finally lead me down the path. Eventually, I wanted to start the show with, which is all the incredible things I've been watching the last 3 or 4 days. One of them was this documentary, and it was on, I think it was on Apple or Prime. I don't remember which, but
it's available in a few places to rent. Yeah,
I don't think it's really hard to find. Is it called Tread?
Yeah, Tread.
Okay, this is about a guy who was fighting the city of Granby, Colorado.
The Killdozer.
The Killdozer, yes. And he was rebuffed by the city council or, you know, these various commissions around town on a few things that he wanted to do. And he was, I don't know if I'd call him necessarily an anti-government guy, but he just felt like he was getting screwed. And it's weird how in tiny places like that, they can put the screws to people and there's really nothing you can do. It's like, well, they, you know, this family runs this town and you know better.
So did you agree with them? Because I took it as a story of a guy who's never wrong.
Marvin Heemeyer.
No, I'm not saying that he was right. His response was certainly not right.
He thinks he's always right. No matter what he does, he's in the right and everybody else is working to screw him over for some reason.
Well, what he does tells you a lot about the guy. I mean, there's really, it's difficult to argue in his favor on what the end result was. But it reminded me a little bit of the county where this black guy was killed, the jogger, Ahmaud Arbery. Yeah. It sounds like there's some really hinky shit going on down there. And were you going to say something, Brandon?
Well, I was going to say with the more and more that I'm reading, and we can get into this later, the more and more that I'm reading, I'm really seeing a defense being put together for these two. And with what I'm seeing, this is going to be another one of those cases.
There's no defense. They still aren't the police. Even if the police told the guy
to contact
them. I understand,
Mark, and I totally agree with that. The only thing is now we have new information that the police of that township asked for the help of the guy who ultimately shot him.
Okay, then they're guilty,
they also have...
They can go down too.
If anything, yeah, that police department's going to be in a lot of trouble. It's not going to help the guys get off who murdered them.
They also have a lot more video of Ahmaud Arbery in the construction site a bunch of different times. Calls from the owner of the construction site saying, get this guy out of here. So I'm just saying that there's going to be a defense built on the fact that this guy just kept doing it over and over and over and over. The police requested their help, and then it got, you know, they met once and there was an argument, and the second time they met, it ended up being deadly.
Quick question. So they confirmed that is Arbery on all the other video?
I don't know if there's confirmation or not, but I just know that the owner of the construction site has asked over and over and over, and he's provided videos of an African-American walking through.
Well, that's why you call the police, not...
I heard
Greg McMichael.
The guy that owns the house feels that this was a murder. Mm-hmm. I think that was his sort of overshot on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the guy who videotaped it also felt this was a murder. And so he came forward with a video because he felt like this was getting whitewashed. I knew there would be people taking these guys' sides. And Brandon, it surprises me, but his son's your doppelganger. So, of course, you're going to have.
So not true.
To point out.
I don't believe that. I showed you the side-by-side. I'm pretty sure it's one of our show notes. Doesn't look like me.
I love when you make the face of your potential doppelganger. I don't know why that amuses me, but it looked like you were trying to look like him, which I appreciated.
Well, it's a frown, but it's an agape. The mouth has to be agape.
Amen. So, I don't care how many times you walk through that house. It bothers me that it's brought up. It's like, look, he walked through the house 4 times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that day, and I don't think any other day, did he ever walk out of that house with anything of value. He's jogging. And even if he stole that house blind, it's not their job to confront him. In fact, I would say it's even less their job because then, hey, he's a dangerous burglar.
And now I'm seeing people going, jogging with his pants halfway down? He's sagging. You don't go jogging when you're sagging your pants.
I don't know, it's so frustrating. I just feel like there's no common sense.
His family and friends say that he jogged all the time in that area. So,
yeah, the neighbors have said that too. It's not just his friends. I mean, I think generally speaking, and this makes me feel good, I think most people feel this is an outrage. I'm surprised there are anybody who would view it the other way, but there always is.
And it took that video for it to even move on. I mean, they were pretty much done with it.
The video, but, this video, oh, yeah, you mean the murder?
Yeah, the murder.
These guys were scot-free. They were out and about and doing their thing.
It's probably why that guy's making the Brandon face in the mugshot. He's like, what? I thought we were out free.
Just like Lori Vallow was out there for 3 months, which I can't, I saw the 48 Hours Saturday night, and I'm like, I just can't believe this person was getting married, living in Hawaii, going to the beach, having a great time, telling him she didn't have any kids, you know, doing her thing for all that. What? The very day her ex is killed, first of all, he's told anyone who will listen to him, she's going to kill me, she's going to kill me. If anything happens to me, please tell them she did it. He's really worried about her taking him out. He also changed his life insurance, which he made very clear was because he thinks his ex-wife wants him dead, and she left him for 2 months to be with this fucking Chad Daybell, who ought to be in jail, too. I can't believe he's walking
free. He's got a podcast to run, man.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Anyway, she left him with the kids for 2 months, just abandoned him with the kids. Then she comes back, and she's, of course, got her phone on record, you know, because he's going to do something terrible to her. Yeah. I hate when people who are the dangerous ones act like everything needs to be recorded.
Yep.
Like the guy that murdered the guy in Detroit and then was in the shot somebody in another car, killed a 3-year-old, and then walked in with two friends and they're both recording on their phones like, just to make sure you don't pull anything here. It's like, no, you're the murderer. You are the murderer.
Well, it kind of goes back to Marvin Heemeyer, too. He wanted to record everything because they were all being so – he was being so wronged by everybody.
I think a lot of people get Marvin Heemeyer confused with the Tank Man.
Oh, no one's got Tank. He's got nothing on Tank Man.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I didn't even finish the Granby, Colorado story, the documentary Tread. He builds a giant tank. He spends a year building a tank with all this sheeted metal all around it.
Wait, I just want to back up. He sold the property, but rented the garage and lived in that shitty garage so he could work on his tank 24/7 because his mind was made up what he was going to do. Yeah,
he was going to take out all he could, and he was very direct. There was little collateral damage. He got all his enemies.
He didn't kill anybody either.
No, he didn't.
He didn't hurt anybody.
Except himself. Spoiler alert.
Pussy. I just wonder why when he got done with that tank, he just didn't look at it and go, I should build tanks for a living, because he did a hell of a job building that bulldozer into a tank.
It was basically a backhoe with sheet metal and concrete, right?
It was a bulldozer, and he took he built a lift. This is crazy. This is incredible how he did this. So he would build a lift that would lift up these giant steel plates so he could weld them on, and then he filled in the space between with concrete. There were no way to see out, so what he used were cameras. With, by the way, the worst-looking monitors in the world, I assume they were.
Yeah, they were small.
9-inch
big block. I think it had the VCR attached to it.
But he had a whole ventilation system, and then he had an compressed air to clean off the cameras. Yeah,
it was brilliant.
He covered it in grease and Vaseline, too.
Yeah, so they couldn't grab onto it.
This is considered a piece of automotive art.
I mean, honestly, this should be dissected as, you know, by war experts or combat experts as a guy who thought of everything.
And he got extra motivation while he was in that shitty garage building it for a year by watching A Man Apart starring Vin Diesel. I laughed out loud when they got to that part. And then
that was so funny.
I thought, well, why wouldn't it be a Falling Down starring Michael Douglas?
She died.
Wouldn't Falling Down seem to be a little bit more appropriate? But yeah, maybe he's a big Diesel fan.
Oh God, there's a new Vin Diesel. By the way, I have to figure out who it is. I got to go through my notes
Diesel's not even a big deal anymore.
Someone who's out there saying the same thing over and over.
And they ate a quart of ice cream.
Sidney Pollack. It's so weird.
This week I was watching Vin Diesel put together a story on how he gained weight for his role in Find Me Guilty. It's interesting.
It's a big physical change for you.
It's a huge physical change because I remember talking to Sidney Lumet saying, I love the character, but how am I going to look like Fat Jack D'Annunzio? And Sidney Lumet said, we have ways. We have ways. We have ways. And little did I know it was 2 hours of makeup every morning. And little did I know it was 2 hours of makeup every morning. 2 hours of makeup every morning. And a quart of ice cream a day. I ate a quart of ice cream every day. Just a quart a day of ice cream. A quart a day of ice cream.
You know how he kept the weight off? Telling that story 5,000 times. I'm beginning to think the Diesel takes a lot of time to prep for his projects.
When I first directed my short film, Multifacial, what I used for confidence to direct that movie was a book by Sidney Lumet called Making Movies. And what I used for confidence was a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet. I bought a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet to get the confidence. To get the confidence to direct the film, I read a book called Making Movies by Sidney Lumet.
What would you do if she dies?
Did you see Spade has a new movie on Netflix with Rob Schneider?
Oh, what's it? What's it about?
I don't know. I saw the trailer. Went, eh. Like, go watch another episode of Trial by Media.
His last one was it's not that good. It was trying to do another Joe Dirt type movie, and it wasn't. It was a Netflix only. It was. I'll probably try it.
Such good content on Instagram and Twitter. I don't know why he wants to make movies.
I personally cannot get over the fact that show is just going to go to the moon.
Yeah,
it was a good show. There aren't many like it.
Wow.
But going back to A Tank Man,
it's so great.
It's a really cool documentary. And the point I was trying to make was about people dying. The day, because we didn't really spend a lot of time in this story. We spent a lot of time on the San Diego tank guy, who we loved.
He was awesome.
And
did he kill anybody?
I don't remember. I don't anymore.
Whatever.
I don't want to.
You're right.
I like him
now.
Right. And this guy, all I could keep thinking was, why don't I remember this? Why didn't we spend a month on this story? It's because Ronald Reagan died the next day and just blew everything out of the news. And
Ronald Reagan!
And you know what's funny is Reagan's death was huge. And I remember watching everything and watching the service when they buried him and playing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. I thought it was one of the more patriotic moments I can remember in my life. Just I thought the ceremony was fabulous. And didn't they almost drop his coffin on the...
Yes, on the steps going down, yeah.
That was cool.
We spent a lot of time talking about...
the line?
Khomeini. No, when they
cut
Khomeini, and his body rolled out.
But the C-SPAN camera was on the line to see Reagan's body.
God.
And that was fascinating. You couldn't turn it off. It was like, wow, I've never had so much fun watching a line in my life.
So that was 2004, and I'm sure there was. But do you remember, like, vitriol when he died? Like, I'm glad he's... Because, you know, today, today you would see nothing but just complaints about, you know, the president.
I don't remember people being assholes.
God forbid, you just wait when Clinton passes away, what the internet's going to look like, or when if any of them die anytime in the next 5 years, it's just going to be a shit fest.
I'm here to assure you that if Trump were assassinated, and I'm completely against anyone even... I don't even like saying it
because
it's our president.
I just... Yeah.
Whether you hate him or you love him or you're somewhere else, if he were assassinated, I believe there would be people who could not hold back from saying horrible things on Twitter or social media or even in front of a camera.
Yeah.
No, that's how pathetic we've become. There's
sad.
Just no rules. There's
Wrong.
No... But... You know, on Trump, and there were, you know, I heard all those bitching people on Facebook Live, and, you know, I wish I could, I always want to be able to explain somehow. It's impossible because you can't make everyone happy. But as far as Joe Biden, I just want to say this because the Tara Reid story has taken another turn, and it's been a fascinating thing from a media standpoint to me. As far as whether it happened or not, I don't think it matters at all. I really don't. I just think that it's so ancient. And his opponent has clearly done many of the same things and probably many, many more than
Biden has. Welcome to the world, Joe.
And I say that knowing that tomorrow I'll read email and go, who did Trump say? Trump did it. I mean, it's really weird how that
Where's
happened.
Where's Hunter?
And It was also really weird reading the story over the weekend where PBS, for example, went in and said, Joe Biden, we talked to 74 people, mm-hmm. 62 were women, I think, and they all worked for him. And they all said that he ran a, you know, first class operation, and he was always very pro women.
Stand up, Joe. It's a good job.
And I mean, they said a number of things. They were all extremely they all liked Joe Biden to a great degree and considered him just to be the classiest guy. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was very odd in light of I mean, other stories like this. I just thought the coverage of it was odd. I don't, you know, as far as the thing itself, it's really a media story to me.
Well, are you saying that, if they went and talked to 72 people that worked with them and they had shitty things to say, they wouldn't air it?
No, no, I don't mean that. I just think, you know, well, if you went to, you can get people to say great things about Trump, too, if you go to his organization and you ask people there.
I would think any powerful person, you could go there and get shitty things and good things.
That's right.
But I feel like, you know, so this is sort of like Dave Portnoy was saying, and I thought his post was really good, where he said, you know, I feel like the rules keep getting changed, and, you know, talking about coronavirus and going back to work. I feel like the rules have been changed, and nobody told me, or nobody told us, because when, and there's a lot of talk now about inconsistencies in her story, that she changed her story. Well, when this happened before, and I'm not just referring to Christine Blasey Ford, the conversation was that, but this is normal, so don't pay any attention to that. And, you know, the timing of it. Well, the timing of it is because, you know, Kavanaugh's been nominated and it made her mad. So, I mean, there's always, and I personally thought the timing of all of them were weird. I thought the timing for, you know, there was like 11 people that accused Trump all at once. Now, the Access Hollywood thing was probably an inspiration.
Aside from reporting it immediately, when is the right time?
There's no right time is, yeah, right, immediately. But, I mean, for Tara Reid to be criticized for the timing of it, don't you realize you're criticizing how many other people you're criticizing who have done the same thing?
Are you Tara Reid?
Oh, yeah, all of whom I thought it was weird. Every time I go, that's weird.
I just mean in general for a woman. I mean, anybody could always say, well, that's odd timing because of X or Y.
No, and I'm not a proponent for Tara Reid. It's just that by the rules that I've been led to, you know, and I don't always like these rules, but they said if the person tells people, well, first of all, women should be believed. And if they tell people at the time it happens, then we should really believe them. And she told four people who agree with this, and she told her mother. Her mother is on Larry King Live, which doesn't mean it's true, but I'm just saying by those rules. Yet the weekend, and I'm not sure what else came up. There are probably a couple other things that came out, too. They said preponderance seems to be that it's bullshit. And that's what I think PBS said, and that's what I believe either Washington Post or New York Times said, something to the effect that it appears this story is crap.
It does seem unusual that there's not more similar stories, because that does seem to follow.
Well, there were six other people that accused him of improper behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, well, smelling
her.
I mean,
the one was that lady that didn't like her hair getting smelled.
Oh, I didn't, you know, I didn't like that lady. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff with
but if
him.
If Matt Damon has taught us anything, it's that there are different ones.
No! You're canceled! He's handsy. He's
Damon.
He's smelly. He's
creepy.
Weird.
Man.
He's weird
creepy.
And creepy. Yeah, but
totally creepy.
But yeah, her story is different. But that's what I thought was.
I do know that being creepy is not illegal, though.
No, it doesn't seem that he's broken law. So anyway, the people that are so mad about the Joe Biden thing, I really don't. I feel like we've given that story so much more time than it deserves, and people are thinking that it's all about the story. Like, he assaulted her, therefore he should be canceled. He couldn't run. They got to get somebody else. No, I don't mean that at all. I'm fascinated with the media's coverage of it, which I feel has been really odd. And I could say it about some other things, too, and I will. But it's not because I want him to be convicted of doing this to Tara Reid. I just think in comparatively to previous stories, its coverage has been really weird.
I do feel like, and you and I were talking about this upstairs the other day, like coronavirus just kind of wiped everything off the table and restarted everything news-wise in the news cycle, because you just don't hear about other things.
Yeah, it may have. But I felt the same way about Hunter Biden. Like, boy, this sure didn't. I don't remember a lot about this stuff when it was going on. And then all of a sudden Trump brings it up. And people go, oh, I guess we got to cover this. So, but when that thing started up, it was like, this has been debunked. It's been investigated, debunked. And I was like, No, this story stinks to high heaven. You call it whatever you want it, but it sounds like there's something definitely there that's really bad. And also this whole business of
illegal, you think, or?
Well, I don't know the letter of the law, but the Obama was upset about
definitely
it. The president was upset about it.
It's incredibly unethical, but. It didn't really seem like there's anything illegal. I mean, it's more.
But nepotism. Is that it? Is it whether it's illegal or if it's because Trump does a lot of things that are pretty shitty, but they're not necessarily illegal. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I wish Trump could edit 70% of the stuff he says. But but that stuff matters.
People like him
because it's what he said. Yeah, but it does. I guess his base really likes when he says all this crazy shit. But this thing about Joe Scarborough is just. I mean, honest to God, I just lose my fucking mind if I spend too much time watching it. It just makes me crazy. And it was this way with the virus all weekend because I'm watching. And we didn't even play it on the show. I think we talked about Dave Portnoy, mm-hmm. but we didn't play it. But when he said, hey, you're moving the goalposts on me here. And if I got to start all over again, I'd rather shoot myself in the fucking head. I want to do my, and I guess his barstool is doing okay. It's not like they're really in trouble, but he was just pointing out that a lot of people in business are losing their minds because
does he mention why the rules keep changing? I mean, do we know why the rules keep changing? And that's, don't get me wrong, it's maddening, and Whitmer has been very confusing with her rules and why they're doing it, but it's also kind of a new virus that we're trying to figure out everything about and find out the right way to do stuff.
Well, yeah, and it is.
I mean, I will give them a break on that. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Obama was ripping Trump over the weekend, and I do feel like the leadership of this thing. I don't even really know what is the plan. I mean, it seems like you have a message and you lay it out there and it's the right message, especially at a time like this. And I just feel like we're over here, we're over there, we're everywhere. It just seems fucking madness.
I was a little upset that Obama, this whole thing about not naming him, it's like, come on. You know who you're talking about.
No, Obama.
You know who you're talking about. Just fucking say his name.
Why is he so ballless when it comes to that? He's done that a few times when Trump is really... I thought erratic as hell. Obama's tried to point it out, but he does it in this really squirrely way where it's almost like is he talking about Trump? Or do you think he's talking about Trump?
He didn't say anything for a long time because I think he just didn't want to wade into it.
Ideally, you should not wade into it, but if something is really off the charts and there's some crazy off the charts shit going on. But
did you see his one word tweet?
Obama? No, what did he say?
Well, so Trump was doing the one-word tweet of Obamagate.
Flynn?
That's how childish the whole thing has gotten. Obamagate! And just what he tweets out, and then Obama just tweeted out, vote! And then Biden retweeted and just wrote what he said. What's going on?
Nice comeback!
What's going on?
I have
all three of you knock it off.
I'm getting a lot of people who are really stirred up about Flynn and why are you talking about the Flynn story? And I'm like,
We mentioned how the main investigator is my football coach.
But this story is kind of complicated. It's like, to me, it's so down here. I want it to be solved. I would like to know everything about it, but I just don't want to spend a lot of time arguing about this. It's like, we have all this stuff here. But there are a lot of people who are like, look at this, disgusting, this is incredible, this is the whole thing.
And I don't understand it, to tell you the truth, to be honest with you. I can't follow it for some reason. I must be dumb.
It's a fairly comp. There's a lot there.
He lied to the FBI. Some people think he was entrapped by the FBI, and then Bill Barr dropped it because he said, yeah, he lied, but it wasn't to something criminal, so it doesn't matter. To which the prosecutor said, well, we're dropping off this case. And then the judge said, why are all these prosecutors jumping out of the case? We're going to have someone independent look at it.
Can't understand a word.
I mean, that's Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
It just depends on what side you're on, that it's either the Obama.
Nobody understands
the Obama deep state trying to take the president down with the help of the FBI.
But, let me say this about
or
Obama.
Or somebody did something illegal and the AG is dropping it.
I really don't understand why Obama just won't say. Why does he have to be obtuse about it? I mean, I know what he's talking about.
No, he should have just called him out.
Just say it. I know. And then the other thing is, because this makes everyone mad. It's like, that fucker Obama.
But you don't want ex-presidents.
Like, yeah.
Do you want ex-presidents coming out and doing shit? I don't know.
Depends on what's going on. Generally not.
But you know, when we have a new president, the ex-president will come out and start shitting all over him. That's kind of funny to think about.
That's the thing. This election, I just can't get over how miserable I am that there's going to be a real hotly debated election very soon. And I guess coronavirus has kind of put it off, which in a way is good for my mental health, but bad for my mental health because coronavirus is terrible for my mental health. But the ex-president before Obama that spoke said, hey, let's all be one. Let's come together. Let's deal with this thing the best we can. And I thought George Bush, who is not our best president by any stretch of the imagination, I thought it was a really good, timely, sincere thing to say. And what does Trump do? He says, oh, that fucker, why did he back me when Russia was going on? It's like, no.
I still think Bush was a worse president than Trump.
Oh, Bush.
I'd much rather hang out with Bush and get hammered.
Yeah, but I think he's a good guy. No, he's a terrible.
I think he's a good guy. I think he
frequently, if you look at the rankings of presidents, he comes up on the very low
end. Hey, Saddam, here's a weapon of mass destruction.
One of the two things you remember from his whole presidency, aside from being attacked at the very beginning of it.
The Iraq war and the economy going to shit.
There you go. Yep.
I mean,
it's more complex than that, but those two things.
If you go through his presidency, you know, it's kind of interesting to do it. And you see how much people hated George Bush. And now some of those people say, you know what, I guess he's not that bad a guy, which is really odd.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Because that whole thing started about, he's not my president, which...
Well, once again...
He is your president. He was your president. Sorry.
Good people can have bad ideas and bad people can have good ideas. I mean, people are a little more
complex.
There's
an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
You know what I was reading about? I was reading about his stimulus checks, though, in 2008.
Yeah.
And how quick.
$600?
How quick that got passed and sent out. Like, I just wanted it for the comparison's sake, because people seem to still be complaining, either rightfully or wrongfully so, about, you know, not getting their check.
Well, it's
just kind of interesting.
It's funny to hear and someone say, you know, compare Trump to Bush as president. It's really first of all, it's not over. And by the way, Biden said something over the weekend about how he may be a transitional president, that if his mental capacity he feels is in decline or his physical capacity, that he would. Yeah.
He said,
therefore, I could be a transitional president, which means, oh, boy, who's the vice president?
Why would he say that?
I don't know.
I mean, that kind of ruins the whole, I mean, just from a campaigning standpoint, doesn't that ruin the whole theater of a powerful leader? Like saying, I might wallow in a few years and step down.
Well, he's too old to be president. So is Trump.
Yeah, no shit. But, both of them are.
Maybe he thinks that anybody who's worried about that can now relax because he's saying, he's not saying he won't run again.
Except he's choosing a woman.
But you see, I can definitely see how people would be interested in Joe Biden if he would promise to be a one-termer, you know,
except
because
he chose a woman.
if this vice president, whoever he picks, is going to automatically be the, you know,
the
front runner for the Democratic Party in 4 years.
They probably will, unless they quail out somehow.
It doesn't matter. I still think he's going to win.
Quailing out. I don't think I've ever heard about anybody quailing out.
Great term.
But it reminds me today I was getting dressed and I thought,
hot.
You know, I'm getting fat fucky. I don't feel like I'm a fat fuck, but I'm feeling like I'm getting fat fucky. Like, damn it. But I've never heard anyone say, you know, he looks kind of fat fucky. Not like a fat fuck, but he's just kind of fat fucky.
Welcome to my world. Although I'm well beyond fat fucky.
But I just need to start working out. And I guess I'm never going to have a health club again.
Get your Peloton.
I might do that. It's all possible. A lot of things on the table. But
why don't you just run a marathon in your backyard?
I just want to say this about Joe Biden, that I think we're getting off the track when it's anything, but Joe Biden is his job is to beat Trump. That's all it is. Does anyone really give a shit about 2024? I mean, is that really on people's minds, or are the people that want
that
to be Trump
dying ASAP?
They just want Trump the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Of course, Trump could run. Trump's going to win again in 2024 if the economy stays really shitty.
Oh, my God, could you imagine?
Oh, my God. I never thought about that.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. But
wait, can you still do that? If you do two terms, can you come back and do another two?
Like, yeah, Grover Roosevelt? Cleveland.
Didn't Roosevelt do two and two?
He did four. He was elected four straight times, and he died at the beginning of his fourth term. But Grover Cleveland was president twice, and there was somebody else in between.
And after he married Alexander, he became a good pitcher.
Yeah, but wasn't he only – didn't he just do one term, and then the other guy came in, then he did one term? It's not like Grover did three, did he?
No. No, he did one term, then he was defeated, and then he came back. Like Bill Clinton when he was the governor of – was it governor of Arkansas that he lost and then got it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know that.
Or was it attorney general? I can't remember which. But anyway, yeah, politics can occasionally be fascinating. But anyway,
yeah, he was the 22nd and the 24th president of Cleveland.
The point about Joe Biden, which I've just completely destroyed by talking about him for 15 minutes, is that I do not want to always be talking about Joe Biden to hurt Joe Biden. I just feel the media has been very strange about Tara Reid, and I'm frankly, I'm calling him out. And the other thing is, it's not just that story.
Yeah, there's other videos out there.
Yeah, I saw this thing over the weekend, and it was like, oh God, I didn't want to see this because I feel like I want to say something. Because can we agree that there's nothing in Trump's past that anyone would not want to throw out there in the media? Is there anything where they go, oh no, that's old, that's too old? You've already been vetted. Why are we going back to this?
If it's been addressed before, or no?
You mean him dancing with Epstein with all them chicks and stuff like that? Something
well, that
like
was, that?
That
was timely at the time. Yeah. But I mean, if Trump, for example, the guy that wrote the book on The Art of the Deal, who said, sure, it's not about any deal, he's full of shit, and the book's full of lies, and I give the money to charity. You know, we go, that book's 30 years old, who cares? No. The guy was all over the place. He was everywhere. I don't think there's anything shitty about Trump that the media will not cover or say, no, let's show some restraint. That's 1973 or that's 1984 or, you know, we don't care. Some people say he raped Ivana. That was, I forgot why that story came out, but that story came out. There's just a lot of, I don't think anyone would hold anything back.
Yeah.
I mean, Fox News might. Fox News surely would. Or they would defend him, but...
Yeah. I guess it just depends.
So...
You never heard much about the... was it the Central Park 5 and the ad, the newspaper ad?
There's a documentary about it.
I know.
Yeah, I think that was why would anyone hold back? I mean,
I don't know.
I know about that. I
guess it just depends.
I don't think it was a huge story, but I mean, Trump's a racist. I mean, he's been called a racist a million... 2 million, 10 million times. He's racist. He's xenophobic. He's whatever you want to call it. He's all those horrible things. And that example comes up more often than not. And I don't know, the Central Park Five, maybe it's been covered less than some other things, but I don't think it's been ignored.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone said, no, that's off the table. That's old. And he was just a citizen, making commentary. However, somebody sent me this video over the weekend. And so I saw it on a Facebook feed, and I was like, is this, I've never seen this before. It's a video of Joe Biden, and it's the most annoying video because he just sounds like such an asshole in it, and I thought that was why I was watching the video, because a guy was asking him about something, and Joe said, I've got 3 degrees, my IQ is higher than yours, I was in the top half of my law school class, I got a scholarship to college, and there was one other thing he said. But it was just a big braggadocious moment, and he did mention that he thinks his IQ is higher than the person that asked the question, which I thought,
what a dicky thing.
This is the most annoying video. You know, I didn't really know why I was watching it. It was just there, and I'm watching it, I'm going, oh man, it's terrible. And then after the video, there's a string of Sam Donaldson, Connie Chung, and whoever else were newscasters at that time saying that Joe Biden now says that he misremembers his past or something. He only has 1 degree. He was in the bottom 10 in his law school class. They also, somebody threw in that his college degree, he was, I want to say, one of the lowest ranked people in the entire, he was not a good student. He was a terrible student. So he lied about 2 degrees. He lied about a scholarship. and he lied about something else. And it was like basically saying that his candidacy was dead in the water because of it. And that's in 1988. So I'm scratching my head going, I don't remember this in 2008. I don't remember this since 2012. Why is this not a story? Not that I want to make it a story, but it's like, it just seems odd.
And the reason it's come back is May 5th. That's when that Brad Parscale, who's the campaign manager that Trump was apparently very mad about, mad at recently, put the video on Facebook.
So why would that Trump's guy putting it out there? Well, no, actually, you know what? It hasn't really, it hasn't really caught on. I haven't seen ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. I don't see them playing the video.
There's a bunch of clips. So it's from 1987. He got in an argument with a voter.
Oh, and I want to add this to it. And go ahead, get even madder. Those of you who say I talk about nothing but Biden. It was on the heels of him plagiarizing, is it Neil Kinnock?
Yeah.
The British economist. Mm-hmm. And I mean, brutal plagiarism. And that was on top of him plagiarizing Bobby Kennedy. And then there were some other things that were also questionable. It was like, whoo, what the fuck is this? I remember the plagiarism stuff, but I didn't remember this thing at all. So I thought, why is this just sort of to the moon? And it's hard not to say, I don't know.
Did you hear what his excuses were, though, about it?
What
the reality was, though, back in
88? He didn't recall it.
Which it was covered then. I don't know why. You're right to your point. I don't know why it's not back. He wrote about it, too, in his book, which just seems really weird about, oh, what a liar I'm. He graduated 76 out of 85.
Yeah, no, he's a horrible student.
And he was on half scholarship, and it wasn't for anything academically. It was based on financial
needs. Oh, he also said he was the political science student of the year.
What is that?
It's not true.
He also won the spelling bee. He should just throw out crazy whoppers.
You lied to me.
It was just, I don't know. I just couldn't it just didn't make any sense to me. And I thought, I didn't even think about 2008 and 2012 because it's like, well, you would think it during the election it would have come up as a vice presidential candidate.
In his 07 autobiography, Promises to Keep, he addressed it and said he lost his temper because he was getting sick with the flu.
Lied.
His excuses. I don't feel good.
He lied.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Cue Napoleon.
I don't feel good. That's basically what this is the answer.
And this is why a lot of this stuff gets interesting to me. Not because I want to bust Joe Biden's balls. I think he's a pretty good guy, generally. And I think he's a guy, too, who probably wants to do what most of the country wants to do. I mean, I think that's why he wins elections, because he... You know, and I'm not saying he's fabulous. I don't like any politician. I'm not a partisan for anyone, but I'm not trying to say that Joe Biden is horrible. He's less horrible than almost all politicians out there. But this is a really messy, messy stuff. And when the Tara Reid thing was being discussed about a week ago, I noticed there was a lot of this. Well, if he assaulted her, Obama would have found out. The incredible Obama's, his vetting would have surely skunked it out in 2008.
Therefore,
it's not true. And then, of course, people would come back. This is what drives me crazy when people go back and forth about this. People come back going, what about Judge Kavanaugh? Yeah. He was vetted as a double.
Yeah.
And all of it makes me want to lose my mind. But the clip is. Should we play the clip?
Well, where do you want to play? Because
him talking to the guy. That's the part that's distressing, to say the least. And he's lying.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school.
Wrong.
And, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department.
Wrong.
At the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate
Wrong.
School and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now
Wrong.
Concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student
Don't
in college.
Feel good.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law
Don't
School.
Don't feel good.
And this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right.
His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden is victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is very going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead meat, yes or no?
Kind of amazing, really.
Bob.
It's in terminal condition.
Terminal. Eleanor.
Yes, unless he comes in third in Iowa.
Morton.
Dying.
I say dead.
Yeah, that's, what's his name? McLaughlin?
Oh, is it John McLaughlin?
Yeah, God, that was a fun show.
You know, Teddy Kennedy got busted cheating at Harvard, too, which was another one that was kind of like, I guess Chappaquiddick just blows it away. There's one thing in that that stands out more than anything.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
That's for Ted.
Is Joe Biden, at the risk of talking about only Joe Biden, is Joe Biden the only human being who has ever bragged about being in the top half of their class? I've never heard anyone say that.
I don't even know. I mean,
the top half of your class, you could be 490 out of 891.
That's still a percentile.
Or 991.
I have no idea where I ranked in my class, and nor do I really care.
We got class ranks when I was in high school and college, yeah.
Huh.
Heh. Yeah, I think if you want to know it, it's not
calm
hard.
Down. It's okay.
Not hard to find out, but the top half. Yeah. And then it turns out it's lying. If you're going to say you're in the top half and you're in the bottom 10, you might as well say you're in the top 10.
I think this is probably his biggest whopper when showed an unfunny clip of Saturday Night Live doing a bit about him. This was his response.
Oh, God.
What a bunch of fake laughter.
He's obviously kind of a hothead because sure. This I forgot what the guy even asked him. The other one was when that guy said, yeah, congratulations on your grandson. And he lit that guy up.
Yeah.
Which was, I knew what the guy was doing. He knew what he was doing, too. So,
no one said that. Who said that?
Anyway, over the past few decades, a lot of crazy things going on in the world of investing, and it's gotten crazier the last few months with coronavirus. There are some things people are jumping to invest in. You see days where the Dow's up 300 points, and then other days when it's down. Many, many decisions to make. What is your 401k?
Coronavirus!
Shouldn't you be looking at that? Maybe you need some help. Maybe you need a financial plan to make sure you outlive your money, to make sure you can put your kids through college, to make sure you can get through this. Maybe you need to think about liquidity and how do I keep money coming in if we lose an income in my household. Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. You can email him at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Reliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services, referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
And it could go up tomorrow pretty handily because 60 Minutes has an interview with the Fed Chairman Powell, and the big quote coming out of it already is that he expects the economy to recover by the end of the year.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty bold. So you're talking about the Fed Chairman, too, has nothing to gain, nothing to lose by saying,
the interesting
try to be as honest as they can.
Is that, people are barely opening up now. But we'll see. I hope he's right. And I don't even know what to root for anymore.
What do you mean?
Well, because I don't know what's realistic. Somebody else said the economy's not going to come back till fourth quarter of 2021. And I don't see many people complaining about the economy right now. I don't see many people going, there's food lines.
Look at the free press in the news today. Every story seems to be about the economy.
I mean, regular people. I don't hear a lot of people saying, oh, my God, I can't pay my bills this month. Or, maybe that's because they're getting unemployment or. Hmm. Yeah, I did look at the free press today.
This plague doesn't scare me.
Detroit Free Press.
When I was looking at it earlier, I was like, wow, I'm surprised how many economic type stories there were.
Michigan becomes the face of defiance in America.
That's Teresa Baldus's new article. It's long, but it's a really good article.
Yeah, no, she does a great job.
I was really surprised, though, that she quotes a mom in here she talked to over the weekend at play dates for her 5-year-old and the younger kid, and is also pregnant. Are you kind of surprised by that? A pregnant?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Michigan reports fewest daily coronavirus deaths since March.
That's a health one.
Wyandotte Mayor Peterson dies at 65. Metroid senior selected for 50K Doritos commencement contest. Hey, congratulations. Michigan nursing home data doesn't tell the whole story.
Okay, well, now you're proving it all wrong.
Watch replay Tigers live stream on MLB the 2020
those
versus
stories,
Mariners.
Those stories kill me. They've been that you can live stream the video game and watch how the Tigers are doing this year.
Congratulations and go so, Tigers.
So pointless.
Oh, there's one story in here where I just went, oh, really? Oh, relive Magaly Ordóñez, his epic homer to send the Tigers to the 2006 World Series. Oh, they had that game on 97-1 on Friday, I think, Friday night maybe.
Yeah.
And today I went to 7-Eleven and 97-1 had the Wings and the Penguins in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Wait, why don't... Oh, that. Wait, no, why don't they have Caputo on all weekend?
I don't know.
Wouldn't 12 straight hours of Pat Caputo and then replayed for another 12 hours be more worth it than rerunning an old Wings game?
I would.
When it comes to those games, isn't especially, you know, in that baseball game, isn't the final inning the only inning you're interested in anyway?
Yeah, good point.
Detroit reports no new COVID-19 deaths. 11-1. This is Detroit News. Joe Peterson, longtime Wyandotte mayor, dies. Detroit zoo animal staff adjust to new strange reality. COVID-19 hotspots for African Americans. Biden's comments on how long he'll serve put spotlight on VP search. That's a story I was talking about.
I'm also still blocked by the zoo. I just checked. That story may want
to
check.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Jerks.
Darren McCarty on Mike Babcock, cold cocking Lemieux, cup clincher, and more. I've never heard that before. Michigan football 2020 game by game predictions.
Oh, please. Let me see. Game one. Who are they playing in game one?
I don't know.
Let me see. My prediction for that game is postponed. Game two, who are they playing? Because that one will be postponed.
Are you kidding
me? Game by game predictions.
Really?
Postponed.
By the way, usually before every season, because the last couple years I've gone back and looked, well, what did they predict before the season? They always predict Michigan will win more games than they win.
Well, remember we used to do that with the NFL predictions, too, or other sites would, where they would look at every beat writer's prediction.
Yeah.
And it would never come out to 500 because, theoretically, it would be 500. And it was always like 100 games over 500.
Okay, Michigan versus at Washington.
Postponed.
Who do you think they would predict to win?
That one?
If you had to.
If it was me guessing or
yes.
them?
Them, say, if you're guessing for them.
They're going to say Michigan. I would say Washington.
I would say Washington, too. I don't know how good Washington is, though. Are they good? It's also going to be a new quarterback's first game on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a new quarterback, too?
Yeah.
I would think that
I would say on the road on the West Coast. They never do well.
I would think they'd lose that game. But they say that they'll win in Detroit News. Then they have Ball State.
Oh, boy. That's a tricky one. I'll say they say win.
They say win. Then they play Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Wisconsin.
No, wait, they were at Wisconsin last year, weren't they? Yeah, that was a terrible game.
26, this game is setting up close. Didn't lose a ton from very good defense. Probably strolled into Ann Arbor with good experience. A quarterback of senior Jack Cohn beats redshirt freshman Graham Mertz for the starting job.
Wait, this is last year's. He's still there, Cohn?
I don't know. I thought this is this year's. This is today's paper.
I'll give Michigan a win.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Postponed.
They're predicting Wisconsin will win. Then Penn State marches into Ann Arbor, correct?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah. And they are predicting?
They'll say Michigan.
No, they say Penn State.
Really? Wow.
Then October 10 at Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan.
Michigan.
Coach, yeah.
October at Minnesota. Prediction loss. That's the third loss already.
Oh, boy. Fold it up. Thank God this season's going to be postponed. I don't want to live through this.
A win over Purdue. They predict a win over Maryland. Then they predict a win over Rutgers. This is the boring part of the year where I go, oh, would you hurry up and play the Ohio State game? Then there's a win over Indiana. Then there is the loss to Ohio State. So they finish with 4 losses, 8 wins and 4 losses. 5-4 in the Big Ten.
Let's postpone it.
Yeah.
But Chris Evans is coming back. I don't know. Who cares?
What happens to his eligibility?
It's so funny. When I think of college football, honestly, right now, who cares at this point? I just don't think it's going to happen.
You know what? Evan.
It's hard to get excited for it.
Evan FaceTimed me with Brooke,
mm-hmm.
and Evan was saying that the SEC are that they voted on the season and only one school said no.
Really?
I think that's what he said.
Already? Why would they vote already?
I think they're planning to report for camp or something? I don't know. It was like, what?
Philip, oh, the ADs voted. Let's see. Oh, about returning on June 1st.
For practice?
And this has Tennessee athletic director. I didn't know.
Oh, Phil, Tennessee said no.
Did you know Phil Fulmer was the athletic director at Tennessee?
I had no idea.
They ran him out of there. He's the only one against.
You did that great hire. You hired that Rutgers guy. Right. Oh, yeah. He unhired him.
They're the only ones that were against players returning. So the SEC wants everyone to come back.
Right. Wouldn't it be kind of weird to have a football team there and no students? It would sort of look like it was a professional football team.
No shit. How silly.
I left my silly drink upstairs.
Well, hand me the wood story. Can we do the wood story?
Yeah, and then call Jonah.
We'll call Jonah.
So this is the story of wood.
We only talk about Jonah.
Or Joe Biden.
Yeah, let's get the story of wood, the famous meme that I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, and this is Vice News that did it. Some guy decided he just had to go down the rabbit hole to figure out who this dude is. As he describes him, the beefy, naked black man. And they find out his name is Wardy Joubert, like Antoine Joubert. Wardy Joubert III. And he says all he knew about the guy is that he had done a jerk-off video at some point in his life and that he had died. Because I don't think a lot of people knew that the guy had died. It seemed unfair to tie a bow around a person's legacy based on two things from his years on Earth. Now,
but he's got a big dick.
I would disagree with that statement, because really, that's why this guy went down the rabbit hole, because he thought more needed to be told about the story, or is it because it's very salacious and people are interested in it?
I don't know. I think because the reason I found this story to begin with is I kept getting this damn meme over and over, and I'm not complaining because it was funny every time.
Have you seen the new one with the thunderstorm?
Yes, I just saw that and sent it to a buddy, and he said, I already saw it. Because that's just one of these things. Everybody's just throwing these out. You're right. The Blue Angels one was hilarious. And I don't know.
The lightning one was pretty
have just gotten
creative.
A kick out of this meme. And so what I did was I said, well, who is that dude? So I Googled it. Who is he? And that's how I found this story. And I think ultimately this guy Googled him. Who is this guy? I want to know. And then he just fell
because
on
he
that
wants to write
hole,
about his
big
quote,
D
but he wants to write about his legacy.
Big D energy over there.
After days of Googling and following leads that went nowhere, I got a break. An email came in with the subject line, the guy in the photo prank. It was from someone.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge.
Someone
right?
who claimed to have known Wood, a.k.a. Wardy. He shared his real name, his Facebook page, and the GoFundMe page set up by his girlfriend to help his family pay for his funeral. The comments on the GoFundMe page, which raised $10,500 for funeral services, were sweet and funny, painting a picture of a big lug loved by many. So then he digs deeper. Drew, we were just debating, do you think the writer of this article really wanted to find out more about the guy's legacy, or that he really kind of wanted to write an article that a lot of people would salaciously read?
Oh, come on.
Okay. Well, Brandon said he was about his legacy.
His legacy?
Wanted to know more about
his legacy
him.
Is he had a huge cock.
I didn't say legacy. I just wanted to know who is this dude, and you know, because I didn't know if it was just a whatever. I don't want to get into it
But you knew he was dead, and you
I'm
knew he
dig myself into a hole.
Okay. That's fine. So he's a real lanky kid. He hit puberty and bulked up overnight. Well, yeah, he did. And his stout frame and athletic ability, but he became a football star in school. He actually went on to play pro, playing for the New Orleans Saints.
Really?
He really did?
That's what it says. Now, what college did he go to? Because wouldn't you think he'd be a pretty well-known college athlete?
Yeah, plus there'd be all the injuries on campus for all the young ladies who... who got in his way.
And dudes.
Oh, he likes dudes too?
Well, we'll get into
it. You know, I don't care who it is. Anybody who has an oversized wiener always ends up having the most wild sexual life because their wiener is all they are. It's everything.
We all have our crust to bear.
Remember the guy with two dicks?
Oh,
he's got the most perfect dick I've ever seen.
Mr.
Double dong guy.
Double dong guy.
He was totally into sex with anyone, any guy, any girl.
Whatever you do, do not follow him on Twitter.
No, I know.
Oh, my God.
So he played for the Saints, and then I guess he played in some arena football league, like the New England Football League. His former girlfriend, Heather Allegra, whom he affectionately called Pitbull, told him over the phone, he would be like, Pitbull, my dream's to suit up just one more time and go on that field. I don't care if I blew out my knees for the rest of my life. I just want to suit up one more time. So football meant a lot to him.
He just wants somebody to pull his pants down in a tackle to expose a giant wiener on national TV.
What I'm most proud of is my penis.
Yeah, he wants to run in the combine so people can see it flop from leg to leg when he does the 40.
And they would act like he didn't know it was out. Just run back to the huddle.
Remember that defensive tackle that did that?
Yes.
In the combine?
Oh, my God.
So this guy's a father of, or was a father of two. He was also a deacon at a Tabernacle Baptist church.
Yeah, boy.
Deacon Dung.
I bet his kids' wieners are huge, too.
Those kids' dicks are bigger than them sausages.
When he became the unwitting star of thousands upon thousands of bait-and-switch prex tanks, it wasn't just news to Allegra or even Joubert, the nude photos of their beloved Wordy. Oh, the other one being... his mom. They talked to his mom in this thing. I jumped forward in the article.
Oh, that's not awkward at all.
No.
Call his mom?
Oh, yeah. You know, we should look her up.
Hey, she talked to them. Obviously, she likes talking about his dick.
The image have been making the round on 4chan and Reddit since 2012.
Was he alive then?
You know, that's a great question. When did he die? Since you did a whole bio on the guy.
I didn't do a whole bio on him. Why? Let me find out exactly when
I passed. Can I ask a crazy question? Why is there a picture of his wiener that's everywhere? So he had nude photos that somebody apparently just went...
That one was from a jerk-off video, I guess. That was the two things most people know about him, is that he's dead and that he took that picture from a J.O. video.
It looks like he died in late 2016.
Yeah, December 11th.
So did he make the J.O. video for his legacy?
Yeah.
So he's okay with being out there.
But when it was first out, he was alive.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did he respond to it?
I think that's in here a little bit. So both the ex-girlfriend and the mom have been haunted by that image even years before his death. They just hadn't realized that it resurged again.
Are they really haunted?
Well, there's been a massive resurgence of it since coronavirus.
I think we need to call the ex-girlfriend, too. Can we find her?
She first found out about his porn career when an acquaintance came over to their then-shared home in San Francisco's Bernal Heights neighborhood.
Wait, I didn't know he had a porn career.
We're getting there.
You're learning. You're learning the story of Wood.
Yeah, maybe it's not salacious. Now you're learning about his legacy.
All right.
So
there's more to talk to his mom about.
A friend came over to the girlfriend's house, and there's a picture of him. The acquaintance asked, "Is that your boyfriend?" And she said, "Yeah, that's my boyfriend." And then she goes, "That's not your guy. That's a meme." Nice friend, by the way. She dated Wordy, or Wood, for 3 years. The acquaintance pulled up the note. She pulled up the photo on her phone.
Nice friend, by the way. Acquaintance. What? How does an acquaintance just go, "Hey, aren't you the chick that used to go out with this guy with the big dick?"
If you went to a friend's house.
Let me show you his porn, too.
Say you went to your friend Rob, who has 10,000 friends online. There's a picture of him and his girlfriend, Lisa Ann. Would you be like, "Is that your girlfriend?"
No.
I talked
to everyone but him.
Exactly. But not this friend. She pulled out her phone, showed a picture.
Nice friend. By the way, these people that do this, the tattletale all the time,
yeah,
they're just stirring up shit. They're not really being friends.
Although, by this point, I think he was dead already, so.
Well, then it's even worse. What good does it do to show her that? Nice acquaintance.
But here's the thing. She read the room right, because Allegra, the girlfriend, was stunned but also amused. She said, "That's how I found out about the photograph originally and how I even found out about the lifestyle that Wordy was into previously." As for that,
so the acquaintance is a hero.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I think she showed her that before he died. Yeah, you know what? Definitely before he died. So maybe that's not as bad. As for the massive endowment shared widely in the prank, despite some evidence and internet claims that his penis is heavily photoshopped, Allegra assured that it's only slightly altered.
And so, by dividing the weight and the girth of the penis by the angle, or the, what do we call it again? The yaw of the shaft, what we finally get is the adjusted penis size, or TMI.
She said,
"I assure you, I absolutely assure you, his penis was almost that big.
That was one thing he was proud of. That's all him." That was the quote. "I started to learn a lot more about Wordy after that photograph. It didn't tarnish any of our relationship," she said. "It actually made us learn a lot more about each other and be a lot more open. He found out that I was not a judgmental person. I never wanted him to feel ashamed." I don't think he felt ashamed about that dong.
No.
"I never wanted
him to feel trouble." Wasn't he doing dudes in the videos, too?
"His lifestyle at the time included hanging out at sex clubs and parties in San Francisco, where he was a bull." Do you know what a bull is?
I don't.
Brandon, do you know what a bull is?
Is that somebody who has sex with your wife when you ask them to?
Well, you won. It's a dom who would have consensual sex with women in front of their partners, cuckolding the men. It was at one of these parties that someone approached Wardy about doing pornographic videos to make extra cash. He was going through a contentious breakup at the time. Isn't that when most people get into porn? It's when they just had a bad breakup?
The idea that, he was down on his luck. He was going through a bad breakup. He needed money. I mean,
yeah.
Really? Well, that's really why he did porn.
But he was already a bull at that point, and then he had the bad breakup. According to Allegra.
By the way, I don't think it's not comprehensible that somebody would have a bad breakup when the girl finds out that they're fucking other people's wives in front of their husbands. That would be, I would think, that could cause a bad breakup.
Well, there's more. So the resurfacing of the photo, she worried about his family finding out, but it turns out mom already knew. Prior to this, I had seen it years ago.
Let me guess. His mom had masturbated to him. To his videos. No, I'm just asking. I'm just trying to guess.
Well, if anything, she should just stare at him and be like, I made that.
I mean, there would be a little pride, probably.
Oh, my God.
It's your DNA.
Like, if you had a kid with a
Rose,
you should be proud.
Did she watch his videos? How did she know?
Let's see.
I'd
seen it years ago when he was still alive. One of my friends shared it with
Friend. Another nice friend.
She had seen it and contacted me.
Hey, let me share something with you. We haven't talked in 20 years, but I want you to see your son's dick.
She called me up and said, oh, my God, you have to look at this. And I called him up about it. So it was a male friend. Oh, no, she called her son up. I'm sorry.
She confronted him? My friend says you have a huge dick.
We talked
about doing porn.
We talked about it because we were very close. We talked every day, and I'm sure that dong came up every day. He was 45 years old when he died of a heart attack in December of 2016, as Brandon said. According to the girlfriend, he was as healthy as a horse, shied away from drugs, only drank beer, and was a healthy eater. However, his heart became enlarged and it blew up on him, was the quote from.
What I'm most proud of is my penis.
It blowed up on him. What's his name again? Wood?
Wardy.
Wardy?
Jobert, like Antoine Jobert.
Jobert, okay.
Third.
Yeah, cool.
So, and he's bigger than Jonah Falcon.
So Wardy, Jobert Jr. and Sr. both had huge dongs.
Well, let's call. Well,
there's a little bit more real quick.
Okay.
That wasn't the only shock she got that day when he passed. When she arrived home from the hospital, she grabbed his phone so she could begin the painful endeavor of alerting all his friends and family that he had died. That's when she saw multiple text messages from different women, all wishing him good morning. And, why haven't you texted me back? She said, I had to call all these women and let them know that he had passed and that I would be setting up arrangements, she recalled. Two of them were crying, very devastated. One of them wanted to argue with me over who his real girlfriend was. And I was
like, what up, player?
I was like, I don't think that matters at this point, ma'am. She was well aware that her boyfriend kept some secrets. Naturally, you become your own journalist. I tried to find out more. But what I found out, a lot of it I already knew. I knew he had done gay porn. I knew that he went to sex clubs. I knew that he was seeing other women when he was saying he was on business trips. She loved and accepted him anyway, and with him suddenly gone, the indiscretions didn't matter anymore. He wasn't perfect, but ultimately he was a good man. Their new concern is apparently people that have been selling clothing with his image, like Barstool.
Oh, yeah.
And comedian Tom Segura. He claims, though, that he's reached out to the family and he's going to send proceeds from the shirt. I don't know. They have yet to finish paying off his funeral expenses.
Well, start a GoFundMe.
She said, we had to pay for the extra big coffin for his extra big ass. That's what the girlfriend said, so they're still paying that
off. Didn't they get some residuals from the porn? What do you think the porn would have gotten played a lot more?
Yeah, good luck tracking that down.
They got to get royalties on that.
Let's see. He was not.
Maybe he had a back-end deal.
He was not thrilled with how the picture was being used, but he was definitely proud of that photo, laughed Allegra. Even so, Mama wishes it would all go away. I'd like for it to be taken down and not spread anymore. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Like a formal apology, let him rest in peace. He had no say at all. Allegra, on the other hand, admits his pornographic videos have brought her solace. I pulled them up myself.
I told you she masturbated to him.
I know definitely when he first passed, I might have been contributing to some of the hits on those pages. That was my guy. I'm not sure if that's
sweet. Are you the main guy or are you the one who gets it?
I'm not sure if that's sweet or weird. Maybe I'm a weirdo, but I miss the man. It's kind of nice.
All right. Well, let's call Jonah and let's check on the mom's phone number. Let her give him a proper eulogy. And Allegra. Can you look that up, Brandon? Can you look up the mom?
Sure.
I've heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl.
They want to try and take a ride on the biggest in the world.
But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And it keeps growing, growing. Today.
Jonah.
You there?
Yeah. Why are you calling from Michigan?
We always call you from Michigan. Yeah. It's Drew and Mike show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were Dennis Bailey.
Oh, no, that's okay. Who's Dennis?
He's the former voice of UPI.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Hey, we were calling, Jonah, because we had not gotten any comment from you, and I haven't seen any comment anywhere, and there's been so much written about Warty Joubert III and his penis, his 15.1-inch penis.
Okay. I really don't care.
Jonah, come on.
You know who he is, though, right?
Yeah.
No, and unless he's been photographed with a ruler next foot like I have been, I don't care.
Well, I think it's been documented, but it doesn't mean your penis is small. Your penis is huge, but he's just...
Exactly. That's why I don't care.
Okay. Jonah, then why did you say that unless there's a ruler next to it? Because that sounds like you do care.
Well, I care about factuality.
Well, I mean, the facts are in his favor, but it doesn't matter. You guys are both huge, so what's the big deal?
Jonah, have you seen the meme of the big black guy that's on the couch? It's a bait and switch. You've seen that picture on the internet, right?
No, because I don't look for those kind of pictures.
Well, that's the joke. I mean, people send it kind of like, remember Rick Rolling? Do you remember that? When someone say, hey, look at this video, and then it's the, remember that?
I don't. I've just been busy taking care of my mother because of the pandemic, and we're still staying at home, so I haven't really been doing much of anything, actually.
Just playing
video games.
Did she get the coronavirus?
She okay?
No, and I'm trying to make sure that she doesn't.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because the last time we talked to you, you didn't sound like you're too worried about it, because you're 40.
Oh, I am sort of worried. No, well, I mean, my opinions have evolved on that.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. No, we've had a lot of that going on.
You're not
anyway,
the only one.
This guy, I'm just surprised you didn't look him up, because you, I mean, obviously.
Why would I?
Because, you put a ruler next to your own penis, I mean.
Unless he gives a good blowjob, then sure. He
can. Well, he did. He did porn.
He did all kinds of porn.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fool.
There's your first thing right there. Always take porn measurements and subtract them by 5 inches.
Oh, yeah.
Well, his girth, though, is just, you won't believe his girth. It's ridiculous.
I personally think that there's a huge viral opportunity that you have,
yes.
Jonah, where maybe you can actually take the picture just like he does, but then it shows the picture is the proof that you're bigger than him. Then that will be the new meme.
Why would I care? I know I am. I don't have to worry about it.
But that's just it. You do care because you say you know you are, and you've got to have a ruler or else it doesn't count and subtract 5 inches. Then, I mean, why don't you just go with it and say, hey, congratulations to the guy. I'm happy for him, even though he's dead.
It reminds me of Long Dong Silver when he wore the prosthesis to make himself
wrapped
around his leg.
Yeah, that was so fake.
Yeah, everyone knows that. This is a real dude, though.
Guy. From what I understand, he was like 5 foot something.
Yeah.
5 foot 0, 5 foot 1, something like that.
I remember some clown was trying to say Tommy Lee was bigger than you, and we had the biggest argument. Yeah. I was like, get out of here.
Oh, and then there's that Joker in Mexico that's really, isn't that all foreskin or something?
Yeah. Well, Tommy Lee, he's only famous for getting his dick blown by Pamela Anderson. I mean, that's on camera.
Well, he's a musician, too, though.
People, he was in a band called Motley Crue.
People thought he was huge, though.
I'm aware of Motley Crue.
Penis-sized Trump's Motley Crue. Come on.
Yeah.
You kidding me? But with all these people discussion, I'm just surprised, because all of them were total bullshit until Wandy Joubert came up. And then all of a sudden, there's a guy that's real.
We'll see.
Okay. I can't believe you've never seen that photo. He's sitting on the bed.
Yeah, I've seen photo what was the name of the first Spider-Man? Tobey Maguire. Naked sitting. That was allegedly him. I mean, I don't care.
Oh, Tobey Maguire's huge?
Well, supposedly. I mean, his balls are huge, I think.
Whoa.
It was supposed to, I couldn't. It's like, I'm not trying to, like I said, unless my dick gets something out of it.
But what if Guinness certifies it and you're no longer the biggest or the longest?
Well, Guinness can certify anything they like.
Really? He's but then that takes your that takes
still
your
second place, though. I mean, to have the second, right. second place.
I'm not going to stop people from wanting to give me a blowjob or fuck them. Like, come on.
Well, no, but I mean, it's a isn't it a badge of pride? But you know what? A silver medal
hasn't
good.
Gotten me any work, really.
Wouldn't it show a lot of class, though, for Jonah to give him his due and say, "Hey, the guy's bigger. That's great, and I'm, you know, happy for him."
But I can't. I'm not a liar.
But you haven't measured it.
You haven't seen it.
You haven't even seen it. Yeah.
You said you're not interested in it.
But it needs to be measured on camera.
It was.
By whom?
His girlfriend.
I don't know. Did you have a notary public when you were getting measured?
No, but I was on a TV show in England, and they had to. It was funny.
They used the metrics.
They had to have the associate producer go backstage and measure me because they've been burned on that before.
Wait, was it recorded?
Yeah.
The associate producer recorded it?
I don't know what they did, but anyways. But
how do we know you didn't slip them 100?
They had to.
To add a couple centimeters.
Also, HBO's Private Dicks Men Exposed had me measuring it on camera, too. I mean, but they never used that clip. Hey, in fact, they used almost nothing of me. They used like 15 seconds of a four-hour interview.
Hey, we know it's huge. We saw it measured. Yeah. We're not asking a lot of questions. But Wandy Joubert also was measured, too. And it's, you know, he had a notary public and all that. So
I've seen Victor Mature's dick. It was huge and thick.
Who?
Victor Mature's an actor.
He was an old actor. He's been dead since, what, the 60s?
How'd you see that?
Oh, there was a store in Hollywood which has famous nude pictures of celebrities.
Did they have the Wally Cox Marlon Brando picture?
I didn't look for that. I remember seeing, I don't want to disparage anybody, but.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg.
A pin. Isn't he a pin?
He's, well, the thing is, they got nude photographs of him from that Calvin Klein ad. Oh. It was like, how did he have. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
really?
But
I never heard of that.
You know,
what else is there?
There's Milton Berle.
Oh, he had everybody. Like I saw a nude picture of Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, doesn't he have weird pubes?
No, but I know that he was definitely uncut.
Yeah, we've seen that picture, and his pubes are all straight.
Yeah, it's a weird picture. He got them ironed. I
just mean there's tons of pictures of people that you wouldn't expect to see it.
What about Milton Berle or Don Johnson? Those guys. Johnson's got a huge crank.
So I've heard, I haven't seen it. I know that Milton did the same thing that I did when someone challenged him to compare. He pulled out enough to beat the guy, but didn't pull it all out. So, that's what I heard anyway. Forrest Tucker is supposed to be legendary
Forrest
in Hollywood
Tucker.
Over his size.
Really? From F Troop?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was actually a short film called The Legend of Forrest Tucker. I've never seen it, though.
So you actually were in a competition where you pulled out just enough to have more than the other guy, but not
no,
the whole thing?
Informal, yeah. He was hard, I was soft.
How exciting was that to not pull out the whole thing and beat somebody? And I mean, that's incredible.
Oh, I was just being an egotist. 20 years ago.
Were you trying to get hard?
No.
No.
It wasn't interesting to me.
How depressed was the guy? I mean, you had to feel really defeated when that happens.
Did he stay hard?
No, he laughed.
Did he stay hard or did it just go?
No, he laughed. He knew he wasn't tremendously big.
Did you finish him off afterwards?
No. This was at a party. So
exactly.
Well, why don't you take a look, check out Wandy Joubert III. Just find out what you can. We'd love to get some comment because it could probably put us on the map.
Yeah.
And I really think that you should just Google wood sitting on a bed. The first thing that pops up is the meme. It explains everything. I think you should take a picture exactly the way,
too much, then
exactly the way he does it. But people will, know that you're bigger. That'll be the new meme.
You ever heard of that explaining the joke? You have to explain it too much, then.
Well, no. We just wanted you to see it.
I just have my pictures from the black and white photo shoot with Jack Swalmovitz, and that's enough to give people. Yeah, whatever. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're not up to speed on this guy, but maybe we'll check back and see how your mom's doing and what all's going on.
You know, what's really funny is that there was a site, there was a person who was. Asked me if I wanted to be a spokesman for a big penis, what's it called, dating site for women. That is like, Big Ones, I think it was called.
Oh,
whoa.
Well, you better get that picture, dude.
Europe only.
Have you ever heard of that?
They already know.
Hey, Jonah, is the hung jury a real thing?
No, I think it's just an urban legend sort of thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate what comments you're able to make, and hopefully you will look them up, and we'll find out more later. But anyway, good luck with your mom, Jonah. It's nice talking to you, as always.
Stay safe.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, buddy. See ya.
The biggest in history. No ruler can measure your massive, huge.
What, she doesn't care?
We all know what he's doing right now.
Yes.
Right on the biggest in the world. It's funny, he really didn't seem like he wanted to talk until we started talking about celebrity dongs. Which I was kind of interested in.
Of course, Tucker.
How random.
Forrest Tucker. Well, any luck finding out his mom or his girlfriend's number?
There are so many people with that name.
Joe Bear?
Yeah, but you know what? I found a contact for the girlfriend, so I'll send her an email. I don't want
to. Oh, does Allegra have a common name too?
Yeah, a little bit, but I just, so it's kind of hard to.
Damn.
When you say you live in San Francisco,
yeah.
Do you really live in San Francisco?
Well,
there's one number if you want to try, or we can try.
Yeah, let's try it.
Okay. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, balls.
By the way, the Hall Financial Hotline utilized for that call to Jonah Falcon. Which is not exactly what we had in mind when we did sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline. But if it's used, it's used. I mean.
All right.
We're a little more progressive and ahead of the curve here in San Francisco.
Oh, my God. I'm actually, now that I dug in a little more, I'm pretty confident this is right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Percentage?
100.
100?
I'm very, very confident. Dude, I'm big. Your penis. My name's Heather.
Heather, I thought her name was Allegra.
That's her last name.
Oh.
And there's a GoFundMe, too, that you could juice a little bit.
Oh.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Pay off the funeral fund.
Wait, his funeral was like 4 years ago.
I know. They still owe $1,500 for that big-ass casket. I mean, it's really sad.
Please leave your message for...
Active GoFundMe.
Do you want to leave a message?
Yes. Hi, Heather. It's the Drew and Mike show calling from Detroit. We were just reading a story about Wandy, and I know you thought the world of him, and we saw that there's a GoFundMe that you're trying to get some bills paid, and we thought maybe we could help out, get the word out, and talk about a couple of the recent stories and what all has gone on. But anyway, hope you're doing well, Heather, and please call us back at this number if you get a chance. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
How mashed up she is.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
There's no way they did anal.
We'll get Dr. Roche to
tie her up.
Do some work on that.
Fix her up?
Yeah.
Well, or she could just start dating Jonah.
Is she hot?
You know what? There's only this one little picture of her, if you want to see it. And you can't tell. You can't tell. She's not gross from that picture. You know, she looks
pretty in the picture.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows?
Have you watched any of his porn?
No.
You want to bring one up? Just for
Brandon, you didn't?
Just for S&Gs?
You know what?
Didn't watch any of it, no.
How was it? Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
How about
look it up, though.
I don't want to see that guy playing with that big thing.
I just want to see. I'm just curious. I mean, it's not like I'm going to get off on it, but just saying.
Brandon is
you
currently
made porn. It has to be available.
Brandon
right?
is currently searching meme big dick bed.
Well, stop. I'm just well, trying no, to find that.
That's what you're searching. I'm looking at it right
Brandon
now.
Brandon knows where to go for a huge penis.
Honestly, I typed that like 11 minutes ago. I can't get anything to freaking work. Hold on.
If anybody can find a huge penis, it's Brandon. So do not criticize his.
Wait, look at Brandon's face.
Well,
he's not,
it's not going the way I wanted it to.
Oh.
Which one do you want to go?
I wish I didn't. Okay, yeah, no. I don't want well, to. That took
big.
Me to a very unfortunate
too damn
page.
Big. Too damn big. Well, while you're looking, I will mention a couple of obits. As,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we lost Fred, my man.
I didn't even know he was sick.
Well, he's older than I thought.
Yeah, 82?
Yeah. 86, I thought 86. They said. Yeah.
What was the big thing, like in your mind when you think of him? Like, what was the first thing you popped in your head? Oh boy, I found it. You want to see it?
Fred Willard. There's so many things he's in. I would
before
say
before we go to Fred, do you want to see the video of Wardy?
Let's finish the obituaries. Okay, I think it's only appropriate.
I really don't want
to
leave
show the proper thing. Respect for. Wait, Emma, are we going to lose the video? Can you pause it? Oh, fuck it. Let's just look at it.
I don't know what is all this. What's going on here?
What the hell?
Well, I think it's just the website that it happens to be on. Okay.
Did Brandon send this to you?
Yeah, from his own personal collection.
Oh, cool.
Since Brandon's not around. So we wore he's lying in bed. Who's that person under the covers with him? Oh, it's not a person.
Holy shit.
Look on his face. That's because all the blood has left his head. That's why he looks like he's about to pass out.
He is so turned on by himself. I think a lot of guys get really excited just knowing they have a big wiener.
At least this part, it's still under the covers. All the music ended. He's acting like he's got a cat laying on him that he's petting. All right. Oh, it's frozen. It doesn't even want us to go any further.
Can we see him with a chick, though?
I got to tell you, man, this is kind of ruining the myth.
Brandon, could you send one with a chick in it? I know this is one you prefer, but...
Does he look like Warren Sapp?
Yes, he does. This is a lot more romantic than I thought it would be.
This is really dumb.
This is what Brandon likes about it.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
What are you guys doing here?
Watching the video you sent over.
Watching the one you've watched 20 times.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Stop it.
No, thanks.
Fuck yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, people sound
he's
so...
He's really digging himself.
Did you guys play the Crystal Porno Alert?
Oh, no.
Big mistake.
Put it in post. No. I already closed it. I'm out of there, man.
What?
I think we know how that video ends.
You closed it before he blew up?
Yes, I couldn't handle it.
Brandon is
too immature.
Brandon is in disbelief right now. He's stunned. I can't believe you did that.
Hey, Mark's the one that was able to find it. I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. I Googled his name plus porn video. If anybody out there really wants to see it.
Can't we see him with a chick?
I don't think he did any with women. I think he was a bull in person at sex clubs.
Okay. All right. So that's the latest update. Wandy Joubert III.
Thank God.
A story that we will be following, of course, as developments merit. Now, back to Fred Willard. Yes. What Fred Willard project do you remember him best for?
Anchorman. That's just the first one that pops in my head.
Yeah, Anchorman is definitely up there. Best in show. I definitely remember him in those movies.
I tend to remember him from all of his appearances on late night shows. He would always pop in for a short segment, and he was really funny.
Well, now you're talking about, remember Fernwood Tonight, which I used to just hate. I never understood Fernwood Tonight. Do you remember that show?
I don't even know what the hell that is.
The show he did, and it was always on Comedy Central at like 11 o'clock at night, probably in the mid-80s. Okay. And I just remember going, why is this on?
Wasn't he in Dodgeball?
Was he in Dodgeball?
Was he one of the announcers in Dodgeball?
God, I don't remember him in Dodgeball.
Really? Maybe not.
Well, you're right. All the Christopher Guest movies.
God, why did I think that? It seems like he plays an announcer occasionally, doesn't he, at least?
Yeah. You know, he's got another movie coming out or a project coming out. Another one with Steve Carell.
Oh.
Oh, Space Force.
Space Force, yeah. So he was still working.
Yeah, and the last thing I saw him on was he did, he jumped on The Bachelor. He was just on this previous season of The Bachelor.
That was horrible. That was the worst guest appearance. I thought that was one of the worst things he's ever done. The Bachelor is amazing in how it is able to make anyone who appears on the show from outside horrible.
But that's when I realized, oh, wow, he's not doing too good. Because you could tell he had just gotten older and slower. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you could see. I didn't see that. Yeah.
Best in show, A Mighty Wind, Anchorman, Harold and Kumar, Modern Family.
Oh, Modern Family. That's right. He was, what's that? The nerdy dad with three kids.
Yeah, he's Frank Dumpy.
Yeah,
he was on Jimmy Kimmel a lot. He was on late night TV a lot. We interviewed him, and Dan Evans sent it over. I don't remember the interview at all. I remember talking to him kind of, but I think I asked Dan, is it any good? Because I didn't want to play it if it was just sort of, you know, blah, blah, blah.
He also sent over what we called the Adult Film Theater, where Fred had a little run-in. But, you know, charges were dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Never filed.
Should we call back the theater and
have them eulogized them properly?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Do we have the number?
I can look it up if you want me to.
Well, I think it'd be appropriate.
Find the name of it. Let's see.
What was he doing at the Adult Theater?
He was paid $13 to watch Follow Me 2, the Clientless parody, and Stepdad Number 2, according to the theater's manager.
He was paid.
He paid $13 to watch three movies.
Fred Willard at an Adult Theater.
Huh?
Was he the only one in the theater?
Let's see the story goes.
Why is this a story?
When it happened?
Yeah.
Well, he arrived at 7:24 p.m. at the theater in a seedy part of Hollywood, paid $13 for those three movies.
Okay.
Clad in a white T-shirt and black pants.
Okay.
And then they go through his credits. Took a seat in the back row on the right side of the 65-seat theater where four other customers were watching films. 23 minutes later, two officers who were part of the anti-prostitution law enforcement detail popped by the 38-year-old adult theater to inspect if any of the patrons were engaging in illicit acts. Is that a little weird that they did that? They have to do that?
Was Fred arrested?
Is this a Pee Wee Herman situation?
Very much. Well, it sounds like it. Let's see. It sits between.
What year was this?
This is 2012.
See, I'm impressed that at the age of 77 or something that he can go to a theater and get off. He's still getting off. He's still getting out.
The theater owner.
He's got nice black pants and T-shirt on.
Theater owner, a native of Bangladesh who sits in a cloudy glass ticket booth at the front of the theater house, said police come here to do routine checking. They come here many, many times, sometimes four or five times a week. They're checking to see if people are drinking or jacking off.
Oh, now we have to call this guy.
Just seconds after the officers walked into the dimly lit theater, they spotted Fred Willard sitting in the back row, which is right next to the entrance. The officers asked him to stand up, handcuffed him, and brought him outside. The 78-year-old comedian told detectives, "I didn't do anything wrong." He was not excited or scared, according to the theater manager.
I can't see him being any of that. I see him just being Fred Willard.
The theater manager stood by him, saying, quote, he was telling him that he was innocent and he didn't do anything at all. The two officers then went back inside the theater and returned a few minutes later. The theater manager speculates that policemen went inside to look for evidence. Quote, he went in to see if there's any jack-off semen. End quote.
Is that different from lovemaking semen? Or blowjob semen? Yeah, jack-off semen is very specific.
I really want to just talk to this theater manager in general.
Well, call him. Let's go.
All right. I got to look up the theater. Sorry.
Phyllis George also died.
Yeah.
Former Miss America, who was on the NFL Today for years. And, you know, she's this giant trailblazer, but I never thought she added anything to the end. I mean, she was serviceable, but I thought she was sort of a...
Being the first, though, that'd be pretty damn hard. Right?
What's that?
Being one of the first women?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Although, you know, she was a Miss America, and I thought they treated her very well. I don't remember her getting a lot of shit for it. But I just always felt like she's there to do the touchy-feely stories, and I just thought it was kind of cliche, and I don't know. That's what bothers me about, you know, we've got to have more women in the booth. We've got to have more. Well, where are the women play-by-play? Where are the women color analysts? Where are the women general managers? Where are the women coaches? Oh, they're all just sideline reporters. And they're all really hot. Does that really move women forward? But on that topic, did you see what the NFL is talking about doing to force more minority hiring?
What?
When NFL teams hire a minority...
Yeah, the
coach,
Rooney,
general manager, they will move up in the draft.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's,
I'm pretty sure.
Are people cool with that? I mean,
I don't know.
Particularly, are minorities cool with that?
I have to tell you, I don't understand. You know, there's a lot of things where I say, oh, hire the best person, and you feel like eventually that should be something that happens. And sports is one of the very progressive things where coaches want to win. They don't want to win with white guys. Mm-hmm. They don't want to win with black guys. They want to win with whoever the fuck can help them win the game. And I don't think many people would argue with me about that. I'm sure there's some people who have biases and they exercise them. Obviously, they always do.
They didn't tend to get many interviews before the Rooney Rule was in place. But, you know, some people also see the Rooney Rule as being a little...
it's a wasting people's
condescending.
Time.
Condescending, yeah.
So, you know, in sports... The NFL, the players, the percentages are very high. The NBA, the percentages are very high, and rightfully so. They're the best players. They just are. So it's hard for me after all this time, because we've been talking about this for a long time. Why aren't there more black coaches? Why aren't there more black general managers? And it just never solves itself. Mm-hmm. We go on and on and on and on, and still this sport that is played in such a superior way by one group of people, they just can't seem to run the sport for whatever reason. They're either being shut out or they don't want to. I don't know. It does seem very strange, especially after the Rooney Rule. I would have thought you'd have half the league would be coaches of color.
Well, they do view the Rooney Rule as very successful, that it's even been adopted into other industries.
But how many black head coaches are there in the NFL?
Let's see. There's two that I can think of right off the top of my head. Tomlin and then Brian.
Well, they're like 65% of the league. They're 13% of the population, 65% of the league. How can they be such a small percentage of the coaches?
There's a theory, too, that white ex-players get a jump start because they don't play in the league as long. Right? So if you love the sport, and you're not good enough to play, then you start coaching at a younger age as opposed to playing for 10 years.
It's really hard to understand just what causes that to continue. Is it the white ownership? Is it just that these white owners just will not hire black general managers? I mean, how many people feel they've been shut out?
Do you think it's that blatant, or is it more
I don't know.
Institutionalized?
I think it's really hard to explain. You know, when you say institutionalized.
Well, because
you're
not going to hire them with no experience. So maybe they're just now catching up to where there's more coaches with experience that are assistants.
This league has been around for so long. It has been so dominated by blacks for so long. It just seems that anything that anyone says, it's just hard to say that it holds water unless someone can show me that, hey, you know what? Former black players don't want to coach. They don't want to be GMs, but I find that really hard to believe. I mean, this is one of those places where you have to scratch your head. I mean, if you have an industry you could take another industry where everyone's participating to some degree, and if there isn't the appropriate number of minorities in management positions, you kind of go, I don't know what's going on there exactly, because it seems like we have a lot of people of all. But in the NFL, so many of the players and so many of the best players are black. How can they not make good coaches? Or do they always end up as assistants? Are they always the coordinators or the linebackers coach and they're just not allowed to get to the top? I don't know. I find it, having seen guys like Tony Dungy who make great coaches, it's just hard to believe that there's only one Tony Dungy out there.
Yeah. It does seem really weird, though, that Eric Bieniemy didn't seem to get many interviews. The Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, and that was a hot topic after the Super Bowl. It's like, why is he not getting any interviews at all?
Who got hired in the offseason this year? I'm trying to remember who was a new coach.
I don't know, Brandon. Can you look that up?
Yeah, I can't. I just know that late last year there was a lot of complaints because there was only the three African American coaches that were left.
So, what do you think is the problem, Brandon? Do you have any thoughts?
I have no idea where they, you know, determine whether or not they want to have these coaches, that coaches. I don't see race being an indication of how well you should be able to coach. I think experience really helps, and I think being underneath a manager as you were coming up is going to help too. But I just don't know.
What about college football? How many Division I coaches are black? I wonder.
Let's see. There's Mel Tucker at Michigan State.
I mean, that's hard to square, isn't it? Division I, college? Division.
I think the more
Lovie Smith, and I think Herm Edwards is still doing it. Charlie Strong.
Yeah, Arizona State. Charlie, where's Strong at? He's not at Louisville. Where's he at?
Black. I'm trying to type. Don't talk to me.
It's interesting.
He's
that,
at the. Oh, you know what? No, he's no longer with South Florida.
It's now
he's an analyst.
I guess the next thing is how many front office people in the NFL are of minority.
Very few.
Yeah.
They're not running it. And I just think there's so many guys that would be good that it's hard to understand. Yeah. But, you know, the star players are the ones who would naturally get the chance if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. And do they opt out of that? Is that not what they want to do? I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So you ready for the list of black head coaches at the FBS schools?
Yes.
I guess this is a list.
Oh, I see it. Dino Babers at Syracuse, James Franklin, Penn State, Derek Mason at Vanderbilt, David Shaw, Stanford. Now, those guys are all doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith, Illinois.
Not so much.
Willie Taggart, Florida Atlantic.
Not so much.
He did badly at Florida State,
too. Herm's doing better.
Herm Edwards, he did okay. Kevin Sumlin, Arizona. Mel Tucker, Michigan State. Mike Loxley, Maryland. Thomas Hammack, Northern Illinois. Jimmy Lake, Maryland. Jay Norvell, Nebraska. Carl Durrell, Colorado. That's all?
14? That's 14 out of what, 125?
Yes. That's for the participation level, it just seems so low.
Yeah.
What about assistant coaches? I wonder how many offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators are black.
I don't have that much time.
I think it'd be interesting to see
what
kind of record the guys that are head coaches have.
Where are all the Asian head coaches?
Again, total bullshit. Why aren't
they? I'm half joking,
Mark, why every not? Time this comes up, you know,
or Hispanic.
It just seems like there's some arguments that get so silly.
Well, yeah, Fuentes.
But at the same time, if we're saying that everyone's the same, everyone's equal, then yeah, where are the Asian head coaches? And where are the white running backs?
Well, Fuentes at Virginia Tech, he's Hispanic. I'm trying to think of any other ones. Oh, Rodriguez.
Rich
Rodriguez is Hispanic.
Let's go back
from West Virginia.
Original subject, which is
the porn theater. You want to call them now? I couldn't find the name. I couldn't find a listing for the manager, but I did find the theater.
And by the way, if we wanted to tack on one of these Fred Willard bits at the end of the show, we can either put the one that we, you know, the interview with Fred itself, or the bit where you guys did call that theater. Do you have a preference?
I think both would be nice.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll do the interview with Fred first, and then tomorrow maybe give 24 hours of respect.
Well, plus we're calling the theater right now.
NFL is considering improving graphics for teams that hire minority candidates as head coaches, general managers. Under proposal aimed at fixing diversity problems league-wide, the team could improve its third-round selection by up to 16 picks.
Third round.
Going up 10 spots for hiring a minority candidate as general manager.
It's important to hire these guys, but only third round important.
I know. Seems silly, doesn't it?
Well, it's pointless. It's pandering, and it's kind of insulting.
It really suggests that you're not going to do this unless we make you do it.
Mm-hmm. Which they will.
You are prejudiced, racist, and you won't do it unless we force your hand. And that's really strange. I mean, you got all these guys in the league. They have a lot of power. And I would think they would be screaming on their own.
Well, how long do guys coach assistant coach positions or work their way up in management before they get to the head job? Like typically anybody, white, black, green, otherwise.
Depends. I mean,
10 years.
It takes time.
So the movement.
Most people are out of the league before they're 30.
Okay, so 10 years now they're 40. I mean, the big move has been hiring, you know, younger guys like Kingsbury or Matt LaFleur.
But what about the guys, you know, often the best players are not the best coaches. What about the guys that play 2 years in the league, but they're really smart, they really understand the game, and they're 25 and they're out of the league, they'd be 34, 33?
Oh, I think that's a fair question. It is really odd. But you're not going to get an answer. It's not going to be one thing.
No. Yeah, I don't know. All right. God, I hope this guy answers the phone from his booth.
His name is Kazi, is the
man. Kazi!
Radio. Brandon just got dinner delivered.
Well, how nice is that?
From his wife, not from a restaurant.
It's a lot better than just dropping her off in the front of Mesa.
This mailbox is not currently accepting messages.
What?
Come on. Nice adult theater not accepting messages. Brandon, what's for dinner?
I don't know. It's like this penne pasta. There's
how do you never know what you're eating?
Hold it up to the camera.
I think she burnt the...
Oh,
the broccoli, but there's also
heads are gonna roll tonight. What is it?
There's a Caesar salad.
My God,
she could be pouring transmission fluid in his drink, and he wouldn't even know.
Maybe she is.
She makes me great food, man.
Maybe that's why there's so much gas.
I'm very lucky, man.
Did you just fart, Brandon?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. You heard that? Sorry.
Well, the trajectory from your anus was directly into the microphone, so no surprise there. Well, I got on. Anybody else for the Hall Financial Hotline? It's important.
Unless you want to call the 10,000 friends guy. But we can save.
We're going to have to do that. I don't want to call him out, but I feel that he definitely is hiding something. Yeah.
And nobody narc us out to him, because there's probably somebody in the listeners, in the audience who's become a friend with him.
There's not. He knows she's a porn star, too. He knows.
That's what he wrote about. If you talk to her for, how do you talk to Lisa Ann? Let's say you just meet her and you talk to her for an hour and it doesn't come up. I mean, what else are you going to talk about for an hour?
So what do you do for a living?
Living. That'd be great if he was friends with all porn stars. It's really the he's a huge porn star fan.
It'd be better. It'd be even funnier. Yeah. If it were all porn stars, but he was still just passing along. Like it's just 10K friends and anybody can be his friend. But when you go there, it's like, wait a minute.
I recognize
I'm telling
that
you,
face.
The girls are so thin and attractive. There are not, I didn't see one overweight woman. I'm not making fun of overweight women. I'm just saying he somehow ends up friends with a lot of really attractive women.
He's got a type.
You are kind of cute.
Well, for the weekend viewing, oh my God, did I get crazy. Prime Video has a lot of rock docs.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And so I stumbled into a Sid Vicious doc, and I've watched a lot about Sid. There's almost nothing I don't know about Sid Vicious. But they had a pretty good one on Prime Video, and I'm trying to think of what if I really gathered anything new. Other than, but the docs about him are always interesting because Sid and Nancy.
Does it have interviews with him?
Yes, it had Sid and Nancy on a cable TV show in New York.
What?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh my God, how messed up were they?
They didn't seem to be that messed up, but Nancy is answering all the questions, even directed at Sid.
Really?
Yeah, she's so bossy, she's so loud, she's so annoying.
This is My Way version, which sounds like garbage.
Is this documentary?
Yeah, live.
Yeah.
Do they talk about how he can't play bass worth a shit? Because every time I read into him, everybody's always talking crap about how he was such a bad bass player.
Wasn't a terribly good bass player, but he fit the Sex Pistols.
God, does he not have a non-live version anywhere?
Yeah, there's a version, recorded version. He was so fucked up when he'd perform at CBGB because Nancy, who was managing him after Sex Pistols split up, she was booking all his shows. And so she would book him at CBGB's. And then, of course, she controlled all the money as far as went to who. Mick Jones played in his band from The Clash.
Really?
Yeah, he was playing with him live at CBGB's, which I never knew. And they had a little video, and I saw Mick on it. It was pretty interesting.
I'm surprised she controlled the money and that it just didn't go to the dealer directly.
That's pretty much happened.
The desk clerk at the Chelsea Hotel should have just handled the money.
And Nancy, Sid would sit home all day, and basically the big excitement in his day was when Nancy came home from her whoring around in.
Yeah.
She had some, I think she was doing, BDSM, weird, crazy shit with old guys, and she'd make all this money. And she'd come home with drug money, they'd score, they'd get fucked up, and then start all over again the next day.
Huh. What an existence.
I know. It didn't make being a junkie look that much fun. Then I rewatched the Johnny Thunders doc just because I love Johnny Thunders, and it was still pretty good. Then I watched Stiv Bader's documentary, which I've been waiting for. Stiv Bader's was the lead singer of the Dead Boys, which was really one of the tip-top punk bands that came out in the mid-70s, they really came out of Cleveland. And the Dead Boys put out two albums that are pretty seminal as far as punk people, punk fans.
Which song do you like best?
Sonic Reducer?
Yeah, it's their most streamed one.
Yeah, Sonic Reducer was a pretty big song. The live video of Steve Bader's performing is a hellacious stage performer. The band was too. Cheetah Chrome was the redheaded guitar player. Badass. You'll see. I think you'll see it just in this. No live videos on YouTube?
Tube? I'm not doing YouTube.
I don't need anyone. Don't need no mom and dad. Don't need no food advice. Don't need no human rights. I've got some news for you. Don't even need to tell. I got my damn machine. Got my electronic dream. Sonic Producer. Ain't a loser.
Oh.
Got a Sonic Producer. Ain't a loser. Cool. People out on the streets, they don't know who I am. I watch them from my room. They are just passing by.
Okay.
But I'm not just anyone. Said I'm not just anyone. I got my dumb machine. Got my electronic dream. Sonic Producer and a loser. Got my Sonic Producer.
Okay. Actually kind of fit there, Murray. Would you love to see Murray Wilson on stage with him?
That's what I was waiting for. Scooby dooby doo bop. These guys were really, they rocked the house. And I got to tell you, the live videos from the Dead Boys are just fantastic. Oh my God, it's exciting to see them playing live. And the Dead Boys got pretty big, but, you know, like all these bands, it was kind of a shooting star. And then Stiv, though, because he was so talented. In fact, one of the things that he used to do was he would actually get his body in a little ball and he would get inside the bass drum.
What?
Yes. He could actually contort. He's real skinny.
Yeah.
He's he looked skinny cool. And tall. I don't know how tall he was, but he would contort himself into a ball and he would get inside the bass drum.
Huh.
How do you do that? It's so small, but he did it.
And did they find a way to play it then? Like while
they'd be live. They'd be really? Playing live and he would do this.
It's weird.
Yeah, he was quite something. He was all
He really looked
over the
like
place.
Rick Ocasek, if you ask me.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah, he resembles Rick Ocasek. Anyway, he was then part of the Lords of the New Church, who were more a new wavy sound, I thought. I don't really think those guys were punky, but they had a nice stretch run in the 80s. And then Stiv was in, he's 38, 39 years old. He's been part of this seminal punk band, then the Lords of the New Church. He's toured and toured and toured and toured and, you know, all over the stage and just craziness and drugs and pretty worn out and thinking, how the fuck do I move forward? What do I do now? And I think that's a problem a lot of these guys run into, but they usually seem to find a way to make a living as a professional musician, which I think is pretty incredible. If you can even make a living doing that, that's something to be proud of. And he did a lot more than that. But I think he was...
I have no skills.
He was pretty worn out. And, you know, all the abuse.
Are you born with that talent, or can you learn it, or sort of both, right?
All the drugs, all the stage antics. But he wanted to form this new band eventually. But at the same time, a lot of friends were saying, boy, he was really kind of cooked. And he had talked a lot about how Jim Morrison... How, you know, God, look what death did for Jim Morrison. And, you know, it would be, I know my legacy would be exalted by my death, which, as it turns out, wasn't really that true. But he was going to form this band with Johnny Thunders, Dee Dee Ramone.
Oh, boy.
And I forgot who the drummer was, but I thought, wow, that's a pretty talented band right
now. Sounds like a band that wouldn't get much done.
Well, the Ramones always got it done. I mean, Dee Dee wrote a lot of songs, and you know, he was a working dog. The Ramones never missed a show. I mean, they were pretty punctual guys somehow, some way. Johnny Thunders, a lot less so. But what happened was Dee Dee got angry at Johnny Thunders, I think for, let's see, did he borrow his coat? I think he borrowed a piece of clothing of his or something. So Dee Dee came in livid about Johnny doing that, poured bleach over all his clothes.
Oh, that's nice.
And I think he cut up a lot of clothes too. And he destroyed a guitar and an amp and bolted. So that was the end of that band.
No, just quick reading on something about Stiv. I know this story now because I think you've told it before in Please Kill Me, the Please Kill Me book, about when he did die, his girlfriend.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Yeah, that she snorted his ashes.
Yeah, she snorted his ashes, a couple of guys, I think from the new church, snorted his ashes, too. The one guy said, my nose hurt for hours.
Oh, God, it's gross. Wasn't it just ashes anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, they think they were going to get high off of it?
Well, Stiv always said, you know, for all the things I've done, if I'm cremated, I've got to believe my ashes are going to have something good in them to snort. And he had made that joke so many times, they said, let's fucking do it.
Find out, yeah.
That's very G.G. Allen-esque.
Yeah, certainly. G.G. Allen, I think when his coffin was open, I think his brother was beating him off.
Yeah.
Which is really inappropriate, I think.
Well, he's not going to get hard.
No. And it's just not appropriate. I mean, it's talking about.
Get some more formaldehyde into the wound.
Well, yeah, what's going to be in that jerk off semen?
That would be homosexual incest, too.
Yeah.
I mean, incest is wrong.
Those cancel each other out.
Homosexual incest doesn't. It's no worse than the other. But yeah, that was really it was inappropriate, I would say.
Oh God.
So I moved on from Stiv. Oh, and Stiv died, by the way, in I think it was 90 or 91, and he and Carolyn, his new wife, were bopping around in France. He lived in France, not far from the Eiffel Tower. Hey, man, he had a cool pad.
Paid for that.
Stiv had made money. I mean, they had done so many shows, and they were popular. Both bands were popular. And I think he had made a good living, but he needed to work going forward, and that was the pressure. But he had a nice, it looked like a condo up high in Paris and great views and all that.
Very cool.
So he and the girlfriend are out bopping around, and he gets hit by a cab.
Yeah, boy.
Not going terribly fast, but apparently it knocked him over, and he hit his head on the curb.
Fancy hair!
He got right up and said, hey, man, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. And he and Carolyn moved on, and then he started getting splitting headaches later in the day. So she wants him to go to the hospital. He doesn't want to go to the hospital. She calls a doctor who comes over, examines him, and says, nope, no brain hemorrhage. And
nice doctor.
Yeah. By the way,
he's hurting me very badly. I'm in pain all the time.
He was having trouble seeing.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
It just sounded terrible.
Go to the hospital, Stiv.
No, he didn't.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting. I don't feel good.
I don't feel good.
The doctor said he would be okay, so he fell asleep. Carolyn fell asleep. She woke up, and Stiv was dead.
Oh, boy.
I think it was a hemorrhage. So, yeah, that was a bummer ending. But moving on from there, I watched this doc on a band that I remember being very interested in the 90s. The Jawbreakers? Does that ring a bell at all?
Not at all, no.
Okay, the Jawbreakers were a punk band in San Francisco. They actually started at two of the guys were boyhood friends who went to City College of New York, I think. And they want to start a band there. So they took out an ad and found this third guy. And they started as a three-piece. Eventually, they grew to something significant, moved to L.A., figuring that's where we got to make it. And they just found that when they toured and went to San Francisco, they always got great response in San Francisco. And, you know, Green Day was coming up in San Francisco at the time. There was a great punk scene in the late 80s, early 90s in San Fran. And so they decided to move up there, and things worked out pretty nicely. They started doing really well. And they put out two albums, and they were both, you know, critically acclaimed. And as the grunge thing started and all those bands got signed in Seattle, there was another sort of push about all the great punk going on in San Francisco. And, you know, all these punk bands were being offered major label deals, or some were. And then Green Day got their deal. And Green Day took off. And it was like, oh, my God, we got to sign all these guys. And the Jawbreakers, this was the most amusing thing about the doc to me. They were like, no, we're not going to sign a major label deal. That's not our thing. We've got a punk aesthetic. And then, in fact, when the rumor started that they would be the next one to sign, because all these labels were interested in them. In fact, Green Day loved them. Billy Joe's on the dock, and he was saying,
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
He thought they were great, and I think Green Day were influenced by him. So,
any of them die? I feel like every punk documentary, someone should have to die in.
No one died in this band, this three-piece.
Are they still together?
They are together now. They are touring now. And actually, it sounds like they're doing some big gigs. In fact, they showed them at the end. But let me finish the story, though. So they're, no, we're not signing the major label deal. They do sign the major label deal. And the way they put it was, well, we changed our minds because we either had to quit because we were just running in place. Although they were a big draw. I mean, they could tour and draw, but I think they were just, you know, you get war weary, you're growing up, you're, you know, getting married, you're having kids. It's like the military guys getting out of the service and, you know, you got to move on. But this band just was so beloved, it was really hard to give it up. So they just said, we either got to sign the major label deal and go for it,
yeah,
or we got to move on. And the lead guitar player, who's lefty, by the way.
Cool.
Yeah, it is always cool watching a lefty lead guitar player. Yeah. He was really the songwriter, the main songwriter and lead guitarist. The other two guys are great, too, though, but they signed a major label deal. They get a ton of money. Meanwhile, they're still playing gigs. It took months to get this thing finalized. And
slow down.
And the audience is livid. They're outraged. They sold out. When the album comes out and they start doing shows, there were venues they played where the fans turned around, their backs to the stage when they played the new songs.
And then you say, we already got your money.
But they got the big money. The Green Day money.
What does that do as a fan of a band?
I don't know.
That just stops them from making more and doing more and touring more.
I remember so many people saying that about REM and bands like that in the early 80s and the new wave, because certain guys did make it out of the college radio thing.
Why is that such a thing about liking a band before they're cool? Or a band just being so underground. Like, why does that make it cooler?
Because they sold out! They're trying to sell records now instead of being cool.
It's not about the art. It's not about the art anymore. Oh, bullshit.
And with punk, it's even worse for some reason because, you know, the punks are the dregs, and they're supposed to like being the dregs, and they don't want them to change. There was a cool article because when I was watching this, of course, I'm looking stuff up because it's reminding me of other stuff, and I looked up this thing on, you know, bands selling out, and there was an article about outrage level for, you know, the highest outrage level for bands that got the major deal, you know, and the Jawbreakers were one of the highest. I'm trying to think. Bad Religion was really high.
Huh.
There was another one that they gave a 10 out of 10 just about band or fan outrage. And it was really a funny story.
So weird.
It was funny as hell. But they get the major label deal. They get the major label money. They get the producer who produced Green Day, the publicist who publicized for Green Day. And it was all a little too, you know, formulaic, I think.
The record came out. Because they want us to be Green Day.
The record came
out. We're looking at money.
Geffen got behind it. They pushed it all they could, but they didn't really have a good single. So they just didn't quite get the Green Day treatment from radio.
It shows what money can do, right?
They had a video or two, I think, on MTV, but the album just bombed. It didn't sell any better than their independent stuff. It sold like 40,000 copies, and Geffen let it go out of print. And none of that, Geffen was just like, whatever, bye. And so at some point they broke up. They got in a fight in the van on the way to a show, and they couldn't finish the tour, and it was like, the end.
Wow.
So fast forward from 90, that was in 97, I think, around 2010, 2009, all of a sudden there's all this demand for that Jawbreakers album. It's a lost classic. It's almost like Big Star. I mean, it reminds me of Big Star because, it was poorly promoted and Geffen gave up on him and they really got screwed. And it is a great album. At the time, it was critically bashed. It was too clean. It was too everything. It was, you know, the writing, he changed. He really hadn't changed much. The writing was great. It was a cleaner sounding record. It didn't sound quite
as
clean.
Which album was it? Do you know?
Wait, is it you? Dear You or... Hang on. They've got some.
They have a ton of albums.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
Dear You, yeah.
They were asked to reform. It's interesting watching the interviews because the lead singer and guitarist and writer, he just seems really scared to go back in this Jawbreakers world. The other two guys, of course, miss it like crazy. You can learn. But they reformed for a festival in 2017 to headline a festival, and the crowd was huge. I can't remember which festival it was. It was a big one, though. Huh. And then there was all this demand to put them back on the road. And I saw they were doing venues. They were drawing, like, there was one event, I think this was last year, that I focused on. It's like 3,500 venue, sold out immediately.
Wow.
Added another show, sold out.
Thank God they had some big label marketing behind them. Some people knew they were.
I know, isn't that funny?
It was Riot Fest in Chicago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Riot Fest.
Huh.
Yeah, huge crowd. Huge crowd going apeshit.
This does sound very clean, but I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to for them. To forget my lines. Brandon, would you throw this out the window? Is this too clean? If you could
save yourself. It was a little bit clean.
No, listen to this and then listen to that Warning album and tell me which one rocks. That's all I'll say. I'll throw that album out the door right now if anybody sends it to me. I have no regrets over throwing that album. Warning sucked balls. I don't hate Green Day. I love their earlier stuff. But when I bought that...
But you don't like anything after that.
I'm trying to think of
that. I didn't give them a chance after that because I got excited that I was going to hear some rock and roll. I was going to hear some good Green Day. I popped it in there and it was some of the... I don't know. That album sucks.
This is the song Brandon hates the most from that album. Nice fart, by the way.
Sorry.
Well, it was on the album?
Brandon hates this song.
I hate Warning the most.
Really? I thought, okay. Because we were talking about...
Because, I mean, here we are. We're talking about a punk rock band and then listen to the Warning sweet guitar riff. Come on.
It is a departure.
Yeah, rock on, guys!
But if you heard if you heard this and didn't know... Warning. Say you didn't know it was Green Day, would you still hate it?
If this would have been some new band's debut, I would have at least given it a shot. But this wasn't the Green Day I was used to.
It's fair
so,
enough.
I will throw the CD out the window again.
Well, try... God, I like this one song. Bad Scene, Everyone's Fault. I thought this guy's writing was really good. And at one point, he started listening to audio tapes of Jack Kerouac. And his writing became very conversational, and he writes a lot about bad relationships, which I think is why people loved these songs.
What's the name of the song? I'm sorry.
It's called Bad Scene, Everyone's Fault.
Okay.
It's about a guy who's really upset about his girl.
Yep.
Being with this new dude at this party.
I went to a party last night. What sick things I saw. Makeout sessions and bicycle messengers. Punks and art school dropouts. I ran into this guy I knew. Hadn't seen in years. We went into the
guy.
Neon kitchen. Stole a couple of beers. But was there with another guy. Say that he still liked her. All I could say was, all I could say was, all I could say was, why, oh, why, oh, why? Why is it always like this? Either you're too mean or you're too nice. Wow. Say,
funny. I like music. I'm not nuts about his singing.
I want to be the minority.
Brandon.
Down with your moral majority.
Nice friend.
I pledge allegiance to the underworld.
Man, I can't believe you guys don't appreciate that.
What, the story?
No, I like this tune.
The guy gave her a t-shirt, and her new boyfriend was wearing it.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
And she said, but you gave it to me.
The guy I know.
Fuck that shit.
His singing is usually more raspy. That's
from that Clean album.
It was kind of Clean up, I think. Yeah, that is from, that's the album.
Yeah.
Anyway. And it was a good story. It was a great story. I mean, I don't think you have to even be a Jawbreaker fan, because I wasn't like a giant fan of them to appreciate. I mean, if you like rock docs, I thought it was really good. Then they had one about this radio guy, which, of course, I mean, it was like, oh, what did this guy do? I've never heard of this asshole.
What stupid headphones he's wearing, too. Those are ancient. What kind of mic is that?
And I suspected what it would be about. Almost immediately, and I was completely right.
Who is he?
A guy named Marco Collins from The End, 107.7 Seattle.
Yeah, that's a big, big station.
Yeah, they did. They were huge in the 90s, especially, and because, you know, Seattle blew up. And
hey, maybe they're playing Marco Polo. Marco! Jeez, that was a great game.
He knew all the bands, and he broke a lot of music.
So he's like the, was it Murray?
Murray the K.
No, not that guy. Who's the mayor of the Sunset Strip?
Oh, Rodney Bingenheimer.
Rodney Bingenheimer. Yeah,
at K-Rock.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I suspected. Was that, oh, this is going to be the Rodney Bingenheimer of Seattle.
Okay.
And he was the assistant, I think he was a music director and the assistant program director, and he was on the air 7 to 11 at night. And he would play music that nobody else was playing. And so he broke some hits. And he had pretty good taste in music, which I think if they let other people do that, they could probably do the same thing. So I give him credit for doing it. And then it turns out that he's also gay. And so that became a thing. And then he came out at some point. But, of course, his father didn't like him being gay and, you know, acting gay. And so,
well, it's because he saw his dad with another guy. That's why he's gay.
Yes, obviously. But so every success he had was in your face, Dad.
Oh boy!
I know. Of course, mommy supported everything.
Do you wonder if that's exaggerated for the documentary's sake?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it made for a better documentary. And then he did mounds of cocaine because he was so upset about being gay and being confused. And I mean, I understand that too. But I just. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think.
Well, he broke back. So
he
says,
broke back in America.
Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters.
Well, did anyone really break the Foo Fighters? Weren't the Foo Fighters going to get played?
Well, I think you would think Beck would, too. And say,
well, that
Weezer.
Guy had a relationship with Grohl prior to the Foo Fighters because he was in Seattle, so he covered Nirvana so much.
Okay, here's where one of his big breaks comes. He naturally loved Nirvana, and he got a hold of In Utero because the presidents of the United States were opening for Nirvana, or somebody was, or somebody's working with him. And, who's that great producer?
Steve Albini?
Steve Albini! I think it was Albini. He gave a cassette copy of In Utero to somebody in the band, like, months before it was out.
Really?
Who told Marco about it, and Marco's like, oh, can I have that? And they played it on the air. He played it immediately on the air. 3 months before it came out. And Kurt was pissed because it was fifth generation.
Yeah. I'm sure the label was pumped. Which I never understood why labels got mad at stuff like that. when it's like, I'm really helping you.
I think Nirvana felt like it wasn't ready, and it was well, a lousy copy. Yeah. But so Marco played at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and locked the door so nobody could get in. Fake. He unplugged all the phones and fax machines, and so nobody could complain, so they couldn't do anything until Monday.
Are you saying he took a page out of Ted Williams's book?
Yes. He locked himself in the studio.
That is so fake when people say
Ted played. Him. Ted played Lean on Me for 24 straight hours. Or
Nouveau,
something.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fake. So then, you know, he gets to know Nirvana because Kurt actually thought it was pretty smart, and he wasn't really terribly pissed about it.
Yeah.
A little pissed, but not that pissed.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert.
So then Kurt Cobain finds out he's gay, and he thinks that's the coolest thing in the world. Oh my God, he's gay. And he said it gave him a new entree to Kurt and Courtney because he was gay. And so he becomes great friends with Courtney, who calls in drunk and just spilling wildly show occasionally, which awesome at first, gets annoying after a while. But anyway, so yeah, he was in with a lot of people.
Huh.
And it was okay. I don't, you know, whatever.
Awesome.
Probably jealous.
I'd rather see a documentary on Ted Williams.
I'd love to see a documentary.
Only on his radio aspect, not the homeless becoming famous part. Well, his book was good. His book was interesting.
Okay. Although Ted had a lot of facts wrong, like Bobby 500 suit.
Yeah, well, it's just Ted being Ted.
Ted, where you at?
I started watching this doc on Joe Strummer on Hulu. Hulu has a couple things that I actually
finally,
like.
Okay.
And the Joe Strummer thing, I don't know why I went down this path, but the song Clampdown has a really cool intro, and then it sort of holds up, and there's just a drum going, boom, 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 boom. And then, what are we going to do now? Anyway, there's a big countdown there. 1, 2, 3, 4. And when Bruce plays it occasionally, he always does a giant countdown, too, and it kept me thinking about, what are the best
songs with countdowns?
Yeah, what are the best countdowns?
Oh, I can tell you the best one right now.
I saw her standing there. Not bad.
Wait, where
it's the first song on the first album the Beatles put out too.
I didn't hear the countdown and clampdown though.
It's further in the song, but I don't think it's on this. I'm not sure it's on this version.
Well, here's another version. 1, 2. Oh, you can hear there. It's the background. Yeah.
It's a lot louder live, and I think he does it before he goes. What are we gonna do? Great song. I saw her standing there, though. That is the first album, first side with the Beatles. First thing you heard when you played the album. Go ahead. Bloop it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's a good countdown. Bruce seems to be the king of the countdowns.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bruce does them in the middle of songs. He does.
Of course he does.
When they have a little interlude or something, he'll, you know, get the band back.
I like it when people count down and they go, 5, 6, 7, 8, instead of 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's some great countdowns. There's something to that. I'm on to something.
There's got
to
be a list. We'll put one together for tomorrow.
And let's see. I could mention more, but we've been on for a long, long time, so we should get the fuck out of here.
Who is Hannah Brown, the Bachelorette?
Oh, Hannah B.
Hannah B.
Yeah.
Do we like her or do we not like her?
She's not really.
Do you want to hear what she said over the weekend?
What'd she say?
I'm back. I'm a cop. Have you ever seen a real rock star?
She just dropped the N-word on Instagram Live.
I did. I'm so sorry.
She was doing a lyric and she said the N-word and then she responded like, what?
That wasn't you. That was,
Was it a lyric?
Yeah.
Brooke.
I'm sorry. This is so dumb.
I was saying.
Well, the dumb part is.
You know, the dumbest one I've ever seen is when, I forgot who it was. Was it, Drake, who wrote a song with the N-word all over it, and then invites a white chick to come on stage and sing the song, and when she does, he excoriates her.
It was Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets even dumber. Today she had a post, I owe you all a major apology. She just has a big apology.
I feel like this is just a big joke. It's a big play on, we can say it every 5 seconds in our songs, but you can't even sing it!
I don't know why The Bachelorette needs to be singing it on Instagram Live. What she gained by singing it.
That's not the point, Mark. Idea. I think the point is...
Why is it wrong when it's not her word? It's someone else's word in the song. She can't sing
a lyric.
Could
you imagine telling
she's gonna win by doing
Latinos
it.
That there's certain words in Lynyrd Skynyrd songs that they're not allowed to sing?
Go ahead and use it all you want.
I know that's
no.
I know
it's
that's
just
where
ridiculous
you go,
to be mad
I mean,
about.
Don't you see anything wrong with that?
I'm not mad about. I don't care about Hannah Brown either way. I just think it's the whole thing silly.
If you don't want to say the word, then don't put it in your song when someone else is going to sing it. If it's that bad, and by the way, if he's saying it, the way I understand it, and I don't remember voting on this, but the word was that that black people love the word so much because it's a friendly word. But then I hear people calling black people the N-word in anger, and no one cares. So I don't really understand. This all seems like some sort of cultural trick.
Okay.
And if she's singing a song someone wrote, that's like saying, you know, who the fuck are you? What, are you obscene because you sang along with Who Are You?
No.
You're just singing the song.
No, she's not going to lose her job. She's not going to get arrested over it.
Yeah,
I mean, funny that she apologized.
I wouldn't do it just because I would know people would make a big deal out of it, even though it's not my word, it's not my song. I mean, you should be able to sing along to a popular song without getting in trouble. But I'm glad she apologized. Poor Hannah. Oh, my God. And I hope nobody was hurt too badly, as Elvis said when Reagan was shot. Let's get out of here. Holy shit.
Get to the Matthew Stafford article.
Oh, yes. His $6.5 million home in Bloomfield Hills is available. Home.
And, of course, everyone thinks that they're going to leave. Does that mean they're leaving?
You know.
Kids ruined it.
There's no football. Where's he going to go play football? There's no football.
Yeah. That is a badass house, though.
It was, but it was too near the water, and they have four kids. Three or under.
Yeah, but I think it was Aaron that sent me a text, and he said, I know he's got little kids too, and he said his favorite part about the 13,000 square foot house is that there's one 12 by 14 foot room that's just a playroom for the four kids. All that square footage.
That's all they get?
Yeah, and how he's like, I really appreciate that, and I kind of agree. Just keep that one room for the kids. And the other, 12,000 square feet of the house, actually more than that.
Sounds awfully selfish of the Staffords.
That's brilliant. You got to keep them contained, man. I'm telling you, don't keep those kids' toys contained. Next thing you know, they're all over the house.
Yep.
Right, Brandon?
That's correct.
You know what I'm talking about.
Let's see. Tomorrow, Trudy's back. I know we're going to talk to Carmine Appice this week from Vanilla Fudge. And it has something to do with Ronnie James Dio. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I understand what the interview's about. But Carmine is pretty cool. Played with a ton of people. And Vanilla Fudge was a pretty big deal. They were a psychedelic band, did a lot of covers. I know they did You Keep Me Hanging On, really bizarre version, but it was a hit. It was a big hit, among other things. So, hope it's a good week. And I didn't get to talk about Phyllis George.
That's right. Well, you did.
I had a good story. I'll save it for tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you.
Fred Willard.
Hello.
Hey, Fred man. Willard, I'm such a huge fan of yours, Fred. How you doing? It's Drew and Mike.
Thanks.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
That's very nice. Thank you.
So nice to talk to you. God, we're just running down your credits, and we're just almost laughing out loud. Oh, my God, Ron Burgundy. I love Fred and Ron Burgundy. I love that movie, too.
Yeah, that was a good one. Anchorman, right? Yeah, that was a good one.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. That was very funny. Every time I see it, I laugh out loud. Every time.
What do people, you know, when they see you, they must be one movie they spit out more than the rest. Which one would it be, Fred?
I think it's Best in Show, the Christopher Guest movie. Westminster Dog Show.
Saw it. Great movie.
Yeah.
Oh, terrific movie.
A lot of people own dogs, and it's surprising how many people show dogs.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, I don't show them, but I own a dog. Everybody has a dog, right? And
yeah.
And everybody sees from time to time the Westminster Dog Show and all that stuff, so you can relate right away, you know?
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I didn't have a dog when I saw that, and I still thought it was absolutely uproariously funny. So
yeah.
I didn't think you need to have a dog. And plus, Fred, you with that Christopher Guest group, I mean, there's that group you work with, Harry and those guys,
and
God, you guys just kill.
Yeah, they're all funny guys. You respect their talent, so it's fun to get in there and work with them and see what laughs you can get out of it. And
given the creative power that those two guys possess, and Bill too, that must be quite an experience from a creative point of view, huh?
Yeah, Yeah, you get in and they, you know, they're not going to be at a loss. They're not going to go south on you. So it is really great.
No blank paper with those guys. In fact, I'd be intimidated, actually.
You do. I'm a little intimidated, too. But once you get in there and you drop that self-censoring thing and you just go with it.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred, I'm trying to think. I'm embarrassed to say this. What did you do in Spinal Tap? Because, again, that's the same group of people, and you get a credit for it. I'm trying to remember your role in that.
Spinal Tap is when they got booked at an Air Force base when the first was the manager, and I was the lieutenant who met them at the base and walked them in, and I had their name wrong. And
as soon as you said it, Fred, I remembered.
Yeah, it was one day. I remember they... I didn't want to be in the movie. They called, my agent called, and he said, they're doing this movie about a hard metal group, and you're an Army, an Air Force officer. And I said, I'm going to make me out to be kind of a schmucky guy. And he said, no, Rob Reiner wants to talk to you. And I went out, and they showed me 10 minutes of what they'd already filmed.
Uh-huh.
And I was so knocked out, I said, I cannot believe you've done this on film. By all means, I want to be part of this.
Hey, what did they film? I'm just curious what you saw.
Well, Norman Lear, the producer, instead of, he gave them money to develop it, and instead of using the money to develop a script, they used the money to film about 7 or 8 minutes. And I think they did the scene where they were waiting in the hotel lobby and their manager, and they ran into another group who had limousines. I'm kind of vague, but I looked at it and I said, I cannot believe this is not a real group and real people actually doing this. So I said, I got to be in this.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. I wonder if Norman Lear would have been pissed if he knew that they spent his money that way.
I think he liked it. He's a very creative guy.
Yeah, of course.
And it sold, and it started all these this whole documentary thing. You know, Chris Guest was in it, and he picked it up there and said, let's do some more.
Hey, have you seen the one? Yeah, that's right. You've done quite a few of those, and they're all Mighty Wind is great.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one about the country music guy from, God, I can't think of where's Walters? There's one that came out a couple years ago about a country music singer who, what was his story? I think he was kicked in the head by a horse or something, and he woke up after being knocked out for 3 or 4 days, and he spit out a new alter ego and went on to become this big country music star. But it's a docudrama like that.
It sounds funny.
It's very funny. You know, I wish I could remember the name of the damn thing. His shtick was in the middle of the concert, he would start humping the drums. And and the crowd loved it. They'd start screaming, hump the drums, hump the drums. And there's a lot of names in it, too.
Who was in it? Was it John Reilly?
The singer is Matt Murphy. Who's a Canadian, kind of an alternative singer, but there's a lot of guys from rock and roll, like managers. Graham Parsons' manager is in the movie.
Wow, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, a lot of real country stars are in it. I think Willie Nelson's in it, and it's so damn. I got to find the name of this, Fred. It's killing me.
Well, find it, so we'll all. Yeah.
We'll all be enlightened about this wonderful thing. Hey, the DVD release of Youth in Revolt?
That's right, yeah. It's. Michael Cera, Zach Galifianakis, I'm in it, Ray Liotta, Steve Buscemi. It's, you know, Michael Cera was in Superbad and Juno.
Oh, he's in everything.
Yeah. He's much loved, a young actor. He's terrific.
Yeah, I've seen Youth in Revolt, by the way, and it's a very amusing movie, very funny and very edgy.
I think it'll do well. With young people really like it, and I think if they missed it in the theaters, they'll pick it up and have it at home to watch. It's a very...
There's a lot of sex.
what did he say?
My wife said there's a lot of sex in it.
That's what I thought she said.
Yeah, there's a nice young nubile body in the movie.
If you want to see sex, read the book. It's from a young people's book. I read the book. I said, God, they can't do that in a PG or an R-rated movie. But they worked around it.
Well, you know what's funny is Michael's got he's got an alter ego. He's got his main kind of wimpy, regular high school kid kind of scared of the world. And then he's got this badass alter ego he develops.
That's the one. And it helps him get the girl. And also gets him into a bit of trouble, which is the downside of having an alter ego who pushes you into things. But I think it'd be good for all of us to have an alter ego.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking.
Yeah, someone to say, hey, don't do that. Do this. Go down the, yeah, go on. Speak up. Say this. Say that. Because a lot of times we're just out there by ourselves with no script.
Yeah, and so isn't there a time, too, when we all sort of know what we have to do to get the girl to be the a-hole, to be the guy that doesn't return phone calls? And but we can never, I can never manage to pull it off, Fred.
Exactly. But so you need someone there to say, hold it. Let's take that again. Let's do this. Yeah, that's what you need.
And Fred, what do you do in the movie?
I play a man named Mr. Ferguson who he's into all these liberal causes, and I come around. I'm a friend of Steve Buscemi, who's Michael's father.
Oh, yeah.
And I come in through a long plot thing. I end up rooming with him, and but I help Michael's character get away from all this dysfunctional family. And
boy, another big cast.
Great cast, yeah, big cast. Zach Galifianakis, did I mention him? Yeah, I keep mentioning him because I've known Zach since he had his own TV series. I was one of the guests on his TV show.
Wait, what show was that?
It was called the Zach Galifianakis Show, and it was a very short-lived one. And I did not know who he was, and I was going over to do it, and some guy said to me, he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going over to do the Zach Galifianakis Show. And he said, oh, that's a great show. I said, oh, is it? I said, unfortunately, it's already been canceled after about six shows.
Oh.
So they didn't give it a chance. But he's a funny, very funny man.
And now, by the way, Youth in Revolt shot here in Michigan, right?
Birmingham, yeah, Birmingham, Michigan.
Birmingham, Michigan.
Birmingham,
really? I was there the year they were tearing down Tiger Stadium.
Oh, no kidding. Is that right?
I have to admit the new stadium is very nice.
Oh, yeah, we love it. We love it to death.
I have a book coming out called Fred Willard's Miraculous Magnificent Movie Trivia Book.
Boy, is that right?
Thank God.
That's great. Thank God Fred's wife is there. Would we learn anything without her, Fred?
Here it is. It's a magnificent movie trivia, and it's the great thing about it, it's all in a book. You don't need cards or anything. But what I don't know most of the answers, I'm looking through it, but they have not only the answers but trivia about the movies, which I just love to find out what happened backstage.
Well, yeah,
that's behind the
we
screen.
Love that stuff. That's just it, the stories that go along with each of the movies.
Yeah. There's always some jerk that knows the trivia from the movie,
yeah.
But the behind the scenes stuff is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that you don't usually see in trivia games.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you uncover all that stuff, Fred? Did you have to canvass some people?
I don't know. Who has the time? They had researchers doing it, and they just did a great job. And I mean, it's the kind of thing I started looking through it. I said, wow, I'll play it with friends. And, you know, if you're driving in a car someplace.
Fred, if I didn't know better, I would think it was one of these things that you put your name on for a stipend.
Who knows? It's a way to give back to the community.
Hey, it sounds like a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure,
oh,
does.
It is a fun book. And the movie is fun. And
and Fred, you're just kicking ass. What else can you say? At everything you do. We love your work, Fred, and I know you got a busy schedule, so we'll let you run, but thanks so much, and we sure enjoy your work.
Well, that's very nice of you, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, I mean it all to hell, man. I wish you could come in here. We'd do This Is Your Life. We could talk about all your movies.
Okay, we'll do it.
You got it, Fred.
All right.
All right.
Okay, Fred.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.